Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Edit that out. Okay, that's it. I'm done for an hour and a half.
Decodes and exposes your music. And now, your host, DJ Joshua and Ninjas Roll.
Here's an interview with Beyonce. Or is this the Beyonce show?
Yo, what's going on? This is Ninja Scroll. And let me see, I think I got my man DJ Joshua on the line here. Let me check. DJ Joshua, is this you? Hello? You guys got to call back. That connection was terrible, man. Couldn't hear nothing. But this is Ninja Scroll, my man DJ Joshua, and you are listening to Step Up to the Mic right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Now, the Goose decided to resurrect your
show here today.
On fucking 2 a.m. in the morning, dude.
I know some of you guys are...
It's on from 2 to 4.
...out there with your loved ones on this day. They don't even get me started on this holiday.
You ever heard of Debbie Daly?
Show. Let me try this call again, see if this is Josh one time. So, a whole bunch of air.
Yo, we got some jam going on.
Who's that?
Mama.
Hello?
No, Debbie Daly. She's a radio broadcaster from Dallas, Texas.
I don't know who that was.
Grew up in radio.
It wasn't Josh. Anyway, we're going to get into this show here.
I guess
here.
Your grandfather was like a radio man.
Today I'm going to do a little breakdown.
Long time ago?
I don't know where my co-host is today.
But today
I'm going to do a little breakdown on Beyonce being at his Valentine's Day.
She showed up on our cool show, obviously. And
she did play
after the show, we were on a Skype conversation with her.
One of her videos.
Come to find out,
I don't know what exactly what
video.
She's a fan
of mine.
But she played the role of Cupid in this video.
Oh,
so I decided that it being Valentine's Day.
What? She goes, I listen to all your shows.
You guys celebrate, which I don't.
Really?
Pagan holiday.
No, I've never heard yours.
That's a whole different show. But being that it is that day. I decided to go ahead and do the show on Beyonce. So we're going to break down some of her music. We're going to listen to some clips that she has, that she said certain things in. We're going to go ahead and break down some of her lyrics.
You got to go.
Stuff like that. Hopefully my co-host will call in. He's missing in action right now. I don't blame him because he's probably getting me back because on our radio station, Ninja Scroll Radio, we did our show Let's Talk Conspiracy, and that comes on at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And I was up all morning running around doing different things. And when time for the show to came on, I fell asleep before the show came on, and I called in late. So maybe he's getting me back for doing that. You know, but we're going to go ahead and get into this music stuff in a minute. Phone lines are open, 1-347-324-3704. Anybody wants to call in and leave any comments, feel free to do so. And we'll go ahead and start this Beyonce thing. You know what? I think I'm going to give Josh a call real quick, see if he's available. And then once I do that, I'll start the show up. If I can't get in touch with him, I'll go ahead and start the show up one way or the other. But let me go ahead and... give him a call here real quick, and then we'll go from there. Just hold on with me. Bear with me 1 minute while I give him a call. there right now. Hold on. I think he just clicked in.
Hello?
Josh.
Yeah.
What's going on, my man?
Hey, what's happening, buddy?
All right. You just called in?
No. Is it now? I thought it was at 3. Hey, I never going to get this down.
Yeah, 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock my time and 2 o'clock your time.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. My girl just showed up. She's trying to get me to do stuff for Valentine's Day. I'm trying to tell her I'm going to have to do this. I don't know. Let's see.
Well, that's cool. I'll take over the show if you need me to, man. That's no problem.
Say what?
There's no problem. I'll do the show. It's cool, unless you want to hang on.
I mean, are you sure? Have you got it? I mean,
I'm straight, man.
Because, I mean, I just had so much going on, man. I didn't even expect. Like, for one, I was thinking it was 3 o'clock, right? So I was in here doing some research, and then she pulls up and is like, hey, you know, she brought her son and everything, and she's going to go to the park, hang out on Valentine's Day and whatnot. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of something, you know.
Oh, it's all good, man.
Hey, all right.
It's
thanks,
all good.
Buddy.
Do your thing. Do your thing, man.
You sure, man? I'll cover you
I'm
on one if you need out.
You already covered me. You covered me next week.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it, brother.
Remember I fell asleep on our show. So let me
yeah.
Do your
nothing.
Thing, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you, brother. I got you back.
I'm holler at you later.
All right, buddy. Peace.
That's my man DJ Josh right there. Let me take him off. Alright, we got a call on the line right now. Let me see who's on the line here. Actually we don't. Alright, we're going to go ahead and get the show going here. For those of you that don't know about the show, this is Step Up to the Mic. My name is Ninja Scroll. Usually I'm here with my man DJ Joshua, and we go ahead and decipher a lot of the music that's going on in this business. Today I'm going to go ahead and decipher some Beyonce stuff, so all you guys out there, check this out real quick. And what we're going to do is we're going to expose Beyonce for the person who she really is. She come out. Let me give you a little background on Beyonce here. Beyonce claims to be a Christian. Okay, she talks a lot of Christian stuff. She talks about she gives to the church and. And she does a lot of different things for the church, gives to them, and I don't know, all kind of crazy stuff. I heard her say in different interviews about stuff she does for the church. And she talks about her mother, about how her mother raised her, as she with Christian values and stuff like that. Raised in a good family, you know, well-off family and everything. Raised with Christian values. But for some reason, Beyonce has changed from what she normally is, what she says she is, I should say, to something totally different. Now, a lot of people say it's because she's with her husband, Jay-Z, who everybody knows is a Freemason, a third-degree Freemason. And Freemasonry is basically devil worship. So a lot of people say that she's influenced by her husband. And a lot of times you'll see her putting up the all-seeing eye over her eye and wearing certain symbolic clothing, like she wear like she had a Baphomet shirt or outfit on at one time. She wears a lot of pyramid stuff. Like I said, she's always flashing the all-seeing eye. So when you look at what she says she is, she says she's a Christian. Okay, when you look at that, and then you look at her actions, and listen to her music, to her songs, you see two different people, all right, and then now we're going to get into that too, because she is also claiming to have a alter ego, or a split personality. Now, I say claiming, I shouldn't even say claiming, because that's pretty much what it is, and we'll get into that with these clips that I have, but she has an alter ego that she calls Sasha Fierce, who is Beyonce on stage. It's two totally different people. Now, I understand, I mean, my name is Ninja Scroll, but everybody knows it's not my real name, okay? But there's a difference between having a personal, like a radio show name or a radio personnel name or a stage name and becoming that stage name. And see, that's what Beyonce has done. She has become her stage name. Sasha Fierce, I don't know Beyonce, I'm not going to get into that. I'll let her tell you exactly. I'll let her tell you exactly who Sasha Fierce is and all that stuff. So let's go ahead and get into it. First, what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about Beyonce and her lyrics. All right, and then we're going to link her lyrics to something that, you'll see that her lyrics are basically satanic in nature. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and get into this first part here, which is, this is Beyonce. This is the lyrics from her song, In the Club. All right, now I want you to listen very well. I want you to listen real good. I'm going to read it to you, but I want you to listen to what she's saying, especially in the hook, okay, and listen to what she's saying, and then I'm going to go to what a Satanist believes, and like the essence of Satanism, basically. So let me go ahead and read this, and we're going to put these together. Okay, this is Beyonce's song, In the Club. These are the lyrics for that song, In the Club. Okay. No, shorty, it's Beyonce. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're getting naughty like it's your birthday. So put your drink up in the air if you look sexy. Now, that seems harmless right there. Okay, that seems harmless. But we're going to keep going. Now, I'm the chick. Now, first of all, remember, she's singing it. You have to understand, who is listening to Beyonce? Man, I don't listen to Beyonce. I don't know too many guys out there that listen to Beyonce. All right? Most of Beyonce's listeners are women and teenage girls, okay? So when you listen to these lyrics that I'm about to read here, think about who's listening to this music and the path that she's leading them down, okay? Now, this is no backward masking or backward lyric stuff. This is basically Beyonce saying stuff that influences the people in our lives, like our daughters and our wives. Now, here's the first verse. I'm the chick with the hottest ish, and we know what that means. Now, this Manolo Blahnik, I have no idea what that means. And if anybody knows in the chat room, put that in there because I have no idea what that means. I'm not into this music like that. Jimmy Choo kicks, killing it. Who you with? Me and my girls at the party with the diamond Zanatis. I'm that classy mommy with the Marilyn Monroe body. I'm that fly chick, 5'6", Marc Jacob mini, ghetto fabulous, glamorous, it's effortless. Make up light, we with my pastel Louis designer scarf, work of art, rocking vintage Gucci. All right, so what do you get out of that first verse that Beyonce is talking about? All right, let's think about that for a second. Remember, Beyonce is talking to our wives and our daughters because not too many men listen to Beyonce. All right, her whole thing is genre is targeted towards, well, her whole music is targeted towards women and young ladies. So in that verse, I'm the chick with the hottest ish, Manolo Blahnik, Jimmy Choo kicks, killing it with who you with, me and my girls at the party with the diamonds and Zanatis. I'm that classy mommy with the Marilyn Monroe body. I'm that fly chick, 5'6", Marc Jacob mini, ghetto fabulous, glamorous, it's effortless, makeup light with my pastel Louis, designer scarf, work of art, rocking vintage Gucci. All materialistic stuff. So the first message that she's sending to our wives and our daughters is materialism. She's got all this stuff. What message is she sending to our our daughters and to our wives? What message do you think she's sending to them? She's sending a message of materialism. I'm not done with this. I mean, there's more. You can find me in the club sipping on some bottle. Okay, here you go. I think this isn't a hook, but I don't know what this probably is a hook. But you can find me in the club sipping on some bar, daddy, I got what you need. You sexy little thug. Don't want to be your girl. I ain't looking for no love. So come give me your hug, sexy little thug. I'm going to read that again because these are the lyrics that Beyonce is putting into our wives' heads and to our daughters' heads. You can find me in the club sipping on some bub. Daddy, I got what you need, you sexy little thug. Look up the word thug. Google the word thug and see what that means. Don't want to be your girl. I ain't looking for no love. What's she saying there? She doesn't want to be a girl. If your wife is married and she's influenced by, if you have a wife and she's influenced by these lyrics, what is Beyonce telling her to do? Better yet, what is Beyonce telling your daughter to do? She said to your daughter that she's not looking for no love. She don't want to be your girl. She's not looking for no love. So come give me a hug, sexy little thug. That's what's going into your daughter's heads. And that's what's going into your wife's heads. Keep that in mind next time you hear them listening to a Beyonce song. Here's some more of it. She repeats that last verse, so I guess that's the hook. So she repeats that. Now, this is part of the hook here. It says, my nails, my hair, my diamond rings, shining with all my fancy things, my crib, my car, my clothes, my jewels. Why you mad? Because I came up and you ain't changed. Let me read that again. What is she saying? What is this? What is this? My nails, my hair, my diamond rings, shining with all my fancy things, my crib, my car, my clothes, my jewels. Is that selfishness that I hear coming from Christian Beyonce? Is that selfishness that I hear coming from Christian Beyonce? Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is. Let's see what a Satanist talks about self. Let's see what a Satanist says about self. Okay, in Satanism, the self is God. This is from a website called www. I put this into the thing. And I don't know if you guys are going to look at it or not, but I'm going to put it into the chat room real quick, and then I'll read it for you. And you guys check it out for yourself. And see what, and you tell me, what just happened here? Hold on one second. It always does it to me when I come in this chat room. There we go. All right. The link is in the chat room right there. Check out what I'm reading if you can right now. Go to that site there and read with me if you want, but I'm going to go ahead and read. In Satanism, the self is of God. Out of the self comes one's own experience of life. The experience of life is sacred. A Satanist does not pollute his life with skewed perceptions of reality. All right. So what is he saying about self? What is he saying about self right there? Let me read another thing from here. Okay, here's another one from that same website. Let me see. What was I just reading that earlier? I just was reading this earlier, and I wanted to bring this to you guys. Where was I just at? Well, you know, I just lost my spot on this thing. It's a lot of reading here. If you guys are looking at this, you can see that it's a lot of reading. He's talking about self in this, about how, okay, here we go. Their own ego, their own pride, activists and pacifists, Satanists and religionists, evangelists, skeptics, they're all in it for themselves. Don't let them convince you otherwise. Okay, let me see. That's not where I wanted to go, but I think I found it here. Let us cut away the bloated self-delusions and accept that actually the self is the most suitable object of worship. Let me read that again. He said the self is the most suitable object of worship. For the self, the ego, the individual, is the source of all behavior and thoughts, both good and evil, and therefore represents the totality of our experience of life. And Beyonce, in her song In the Club, is straight up selfish. Being selfish. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Okay, now, I'm going to go back and keep reading here. The next verse is, I'm the girl wearing shadow pearls, chandeliers in my ears from Bailey, Banks, and Biddle. Y'all feeling my style, you're feeling my flow. Hair chic, smell sweet, like flow to flow. I'm the lady sipping Bailey's while I strut like a model. If the ladies want to hate me, I just send them a bottle. I know I got it, but I don't flaunt it, even though brothers want it. Dancing dirty while I'm flirting, because he's checking up on me. Now, who's checking up on her? Dancing dirty while I'm flirting, because he's checking up on me. And it goes back to that hook again, that crazy hook that she got. But listen to that. Listen to the words that she's saying. Now, you know, let's go to a clip from Beyonce. You know what? No, I'm going to go ahead and finish on another. I'm going to go to some other lyrics of hers. This is from the song Halo. All right, now let's listen to Beyonce. I'm going to go ahead and just read a little bit of Beyonce's Halo. I'm going to break this one down. You guys just joining me. We just did a breakdown of Beyonce's In the Club. And after this, we're going to go and we're going to listen to some clips of Beyonce and she's saying about herself and Sasha Fierce. And then we'll go ahead and read some things that she said in some interviews. But right now, here's Beyonce's Halo. These are the lyrics from her song Halo. Remember those walls I built? Well, baby, they're tumbling down. And they didn't even put up a fight. They didn't even make a sound. I found a way to let you in, but I never really had a doubt. Standing in the light of your halo, I got my angel now. All right. You can say that she's talking about God, but she's not talking about God because she says she has her angel now. What angel is she talking about here? A fallen angel? Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. And she talks about standing in the light of your halo, I got my angel now. The Bible says that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. What is she saying? I guess this is the hook. It's like I've been awakened. Every rule I had you breaking, it's the risk that I'm taking. I ain't never going to shut you out. Now, she's talking about God in that first verse. Why is she taking a risk? What risk is she taking? Everywhere I'm looking now, I'm surrounded by your embrace. Baby, I can see your halo. You know you're my saving grace. You're everything I need and more. It's written all over your face. Baby, I can feel your halo. Pray it won't fade away. Now, then it goes into some I Can Feel Your Halo, 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 stuff like that. You guys know the song. Hit me like a ray of sun burning through my darkest night. That's the second verse. You're the only one that I want. Think I'm addicted to your light. I swore I'd never fall again, but this don't even feel like falling. Gravity can't begin to pull me back to the ground again. And then she goes into, it's like I've been awakened, every rule I had you breaking, that one right there. And I'm going to go to the third verse. Oh, this is the same thing. Everywhere I'm looking now, I'm surrounded by your embrace. So when you listen to these lyrics, and then, you know, it just goes on repetitive over and over again. She has maybe two verses, and pretty much every one of the songs, and the rest of it is just like hook and bridge, just repeated over and over again, and get stuck in your head to control you. That's basically all this is. So this is Michael Hall's in the chat room. I'm going to let you, this is Beyonce. This is Beyonce's lyrics that I'm reading. So, I wasn't watching the chat. I just came back on there because I was reading that stuff. I got you, Mike, man. It's cool. I'm going to go ahead and play some of these clips real quick before we go into the break. We're going to take a break in a half hour. And just think about who Beyonce, who her songs are targeted to. And what impact is it having on their lives? Her songs are targeted to our wives, those of us that are married, that listen to this type of music. Most of them all listen to Beyonce. They think it's great music because she can sing well. She's very beautiful, and she can sing very good, like I said. And a lot of women are attracted to that. And not only that, but the message of her so-called women empowerment, and that is also satanic. That's how you divide and split up the family, is by letting a woman think that she is the head of the house, and she's not. According to the Bible, man is in charge. But this is all part of the agenda of the New World Order, to separate the family and split up the family. This is all part of it. The women's rights thing was all part of this. It gives women the right to go, to go out and work. I'm not saying women shouldn't work, but women are supposed to take care of the kids and take care of the house. And a man is supposed to go out and work. That's biblical. But you can hear the diversion in people. You can hear how it's all been diverted. So just think, when your wife or your daughter is listening to Beyonce's songs, you have to know what's in her songs and what agenda she's pushing. Because it's not a Christian agenda, as she tells you in different interviews that she's a Christian and she gives you the church and she goes to church and she does this for the church and does that for the church. So what? What are you talking about? Is what's real? What's in your songs that you sing? What path are you leading these people down? Are you leading them to Jesus Christ or are you leading them away from Jesus Christ? If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be leading them to Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, you wouldn't be singing songs like this that lead people away from Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to play some music real quick. We got somebody on the line. I'll go get to you guys right after this commercial break here, caller. Actually, you know what? I'm going to call in right now, and then we'll go to our break.
Okay.
Call in 209-342. You're on.
Oh, okay. Hey, Uncle Buck here. Listen to your program. I hadn't listened to you yet, and wow, that's good, man. I mean, that's good stuff. I thought this was like a rap show, which I'm not a fan of. And, fantastic information and well said. And as far as, the headship you're speaking about, man, is that the truth or what? You're right. And this is going into women's heads and lots of the breakup of the family and, good stuff, man. And I just got into some of this stuff on YouTube. And I watched the other day where Bob Dylan talks about selling his soul to the devil. And on 60 Minutes. And he's serious, man. He's like, he's pretty glum about it. He's like, I'm trying to hold my end of the bargain up here. And it's like, wow.
You can see his face when he was saying that. I mean, he looked so sad. He looked like he was hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. And, my friend does Beyonce. I'm in trucking, and he hauls her all around, all her stuff for stage call. And, we talk about this, and I get to go different places, and he's in different cities, and I'll go backstage with these guys, delivering the Ed and Ted light shows. And, we were out there with Tiger Jam in Vegas, and, I was talking about John Bon Jovi. And there's a lot of speculation about him. He says he'd kill his mother for rock and roll. And it's like, here's a guy who's a billionaire with a B. He's as famous as he ever was. Still married to the same woman. But, we were backstage, and with Tiger Woods and Richie Sambora and all these chicks that I'm not saying they were anything with John Bon Jovi, but they were crawling all over Richie Sambora, and it was like, you know, yeah, wow, you know, that's that corruption is alive and well. And he'd always say, you know, it's a business of excess. And you know, it's really good information you're putting out there. But people, they just like the beat and the tone and all that, and they don't realize that's going into their heads, man.
They don't realize that subconsciously they're soaking up the message, that the agenda that these guys are trying to push. They're soaking that up because they're listening to the beat and they listen to the hook. They don't realize what people even say. I mean, it takes like 4 or 5 times for you to hear the song to understand what they're actually saying. If I have time, it's too late. You got the message.
Yeah, yeah, and I was saying the other night on Knuckle Bones that, like, remember old Creed, they signed their record contracts in blood. No kidding. You can look at them on YouTube. And, you know, that whole business, man, I mean, that's, you see, if you're a spiritual person, you know, say, you know, quote-unquote Christian, you feel that there's something dark there, man, and it's like, you know, whether it's rap or rock, you know, and you... If you have that sensitivity, man, you feel that. Oh, in fact, my buddy was doing 50 Cent hauling his stuff around. He had a heart attack. He said, man, those were the darkest people. He said, I couldn't wait to get off that tour. He said, you know, my body couldn't handle it. Very spiritual guy, older gentleman in his 60s. And he said, you know, I took a heart attack. He said, my body just couldn't stand being around that darkness. And he said,
it's in the whole business, too. Man, I'm sorry, cut you off there.
No, I said, it doesn't flow with my energy, man, and, you know, I know who I serve, and, you know, I fail now and then, but, like any fleshly man, but, yeah, man, I mean, people are spiritually dead, so they just buy into this, and, you know, like that Lady Gaga, it's like, and, you know, never has someone been so blatant about this NWO, like, straight in your face, where it was like...
Right in your face.
Yeah, and I'm like, whoa, she's straight out pushing that stuff big time. And,
I don't even have to do a show on Lady Gaga, because anybody that's aware of this Illuminati symbolism, see exactly what she's doing right in your face. I don't have to do a show on her. But see, Beyonce will tell you on one hand that she's a Christian, and then on the other hand, talk crazy.
I'm gonna
play some clips that she talks about some crazy stuff that happens to her, and she actually. I'm gonna save it for the clips, but you'll see that she is leading Christian women and young women down the wrong path away from Jesus, and that's what this show is all about. Is about exposing these people.
Oh, well said. I hadn't heard your show before, and I was like, what's this? And now it's good. I'm like, right on. Good show, and man, I get a chance to be around those guys. I'm just a truck driver, and I go backstage, and you know, they think I'm supposed to be back there because I'm with the stage call, and it's weird, man. That's all I can say. It's weird. So I'll shut up and keep listening, man. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Uncle Buck. And I've heard a lot of good things about you, so I appreciate you calling in. And I'll make sure you keep listening to it, because there's more of this to come.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Sounds good. Look forward to it.
All right, my man. Take care. All right, that was Uncle Buck, who used to be on this network before. Just called in. I want to thank him for the call. It was a great call. We're going to go ahead and go into our break now. So let's go ahead and get this break on here. And after the break, we'll come back and we'll get into... Now, I just know I had this break all set up. Here we go. After the break, we'll get into more of Beyonce. And I'll play these clips that I've been talking about. And you guys are going to be amazed. Now, some of you may have heard them already before, but it's going to blow your mind. Those that haven't heard it, it's going to blow your mind. And we'll talk more about that, and we'll get into some more of Beyonce. Right after this, you listen to the Step Up to the Mic show with Ninja Scroll and DJ Joshua right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, folks. CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high-quality, cost-effective, and long-term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepare with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them your freedom.
All right, before we get back into this stuff, I want to play a little bit of music here. I know a lot of you guys out there listen to some hip-hop music, and this is a music show, so I do play some music. But this music that I'm going to play is all Christian music. You'll hear him talking about Christianity and Jesus Christ in his music. There's no cursing. Great music. So just sit back and relax for 1 second. I'm going to play this song from Destiny Lab called Ezekiel's Will off of their CD, The Original Sin. You heard it first right here on Freedomizer Radio, Step Up to the Mic Show.
And in those days, there were giants in the land, and the sons of the angels of God looked upon the daughters of men and found them fair, and took of them wives, and their sons became of old great men of renown. So they have been mixing with us on a genetic level since the time of Enoch and Ezekiel's will.
Here on Earth, we're intrigued by the sun, moon, and stars, and imagine there's got to be planets like ours. Some conceive of a face on the surface of Mars, so in need of a meaning and purpose we fall. And indeed, they believe that these might be our gods, or that maybe with time we'll do right and evolve, and eventually reach what they seek, and then solve all the problems of man. But they really don't know that they fall, and the works of our hands are but just filthy rags. So we travel the lands to dig up our past, my last. And with it are much of the facts. I imagine that God came in alien craft to react in this way that's so desperate for meaning and purpose. But satanic servants, they know that they have evil motives. Am I making you nervous? Ha! I'm stretching the surface. The size of Ezekiel's wheel, when the skies unfold like scrolls in the breaking of seals, he's a warning. The message is clear, he's a warning. The times are near, see the signs from Ezekiel's wheel. When the skies unfold like scrolls in the breaking of seals, he's a warning. The message is clear, he's a warning. The times are near, in the blink of an eye, all believers will be raptured. Anyone left receives a mark or the caption. This kingdom will arise, claiming some riches are alien possessed by Satan on the side of the Nephilim. So death, those who left held us back from evolving, and now that they're gone, we'll solve all of our problems. The worship of anyone gone will be halted. When I'm coming to God, then I'm self-exalted. We'll stay on these lines, and in time they'll devise and arrive at a plan that will help hypnotize all the ones left behind, the spiritually blind. He's stolen their souls, now we've seen their mind. It's already started, we're seeing the signs. Just study the word, prophecies all in line. They'll chop off the heads of all those who fight at one earth, one world. Aren't you excited? It's not the Ezekiel's wheel. When the skies unfold like scrolls in the breaking of seals, he's a warning. The message is clear, he's a warning. The times are near, see the signs from Ezekiel's wheel. When the skies unfold like scrolls in the breaking of seals, he's a warning. The message is clear, he's a warning. The times are near. Where would you be in the year 2012? Are they casting a spell they're not ready to tell? It's time to reveal what they tried to keep veiled. Pure evil they hail, and they sell it so well. He fell from the heavenly realms where he dwelled, a once beautiful angel that tried to rebel. Expelled from the light into darkness and hell, now a serpent and snake with reptilian scales. He wears the disguise with angelic wings, and mimics the truth with a lie so obscene. He always repeats the same thing he told Eve, that you'll be supreme, a king or a queen, that you can evolve to an enlightened being, a god of your own that can do anything. He feeds on our souls with this fraudulent scheme in so many ways, but it's all just the same. It's the time from Ezekiel's wheel, when the skies unfold like scrolls and the breaking of seals, he's a warning. The message is clear, he's a warning. The times are near, see the signs from Ezekiel's wheel. When the skies unfold like scrolls and the breaking of seals, he's a warning.
is clear, he's a warning. I'm not near.
Why hide yourself with, you know, creating UFO crafts and things like that? Why that deception if that's indeed what's going on?
The creatures figured out that there was one way that they could frighten mankind, and that is to present themselves as technologically superior beings from visible UFOs.
Why would they want to abduct human beings?
UFO abduction might not be caused by physical occupants, but from creatures living in perhaps what we would call another dimension.
Mm-hmm. Posing as humans.
Yes, the same type of interfering, harassing, paraphysical creature in every culture worldwide.
All right, that was Destiny Lab right there with Ezekiel's Wheel. You can get them at www.com/ReverbNation. I put the link in the chat room. I guess I'm going to have to make it small letters or put the HTTP in front so that you guys can just click on it and go there. But check out this. They got two CDs. One is called The Original Sin. That was the one. That was the song. That's the album that song was just played off of with 18 songs on it, man. And then they have another album called The Evolution Antidote. Wow, and what they do is they just prove evolution to the T through music. So make sure you go check out Destiny Lab, man. They great music, great for your kids to listen to, no cursing, great message, spiritual, biblical, and you can get them at www.ReverbNation.com/Destiny Lab, and I believe they have a website also. It's www.DestinyLab.com. So check them out, man, and support those guys and support people that are making good music like that, because there's not a lot of it out there. And you can see right now in this show, the music that they're giving us is not good music. It's not only is it terrible music to listen to, it just stinks altogether, but it has a message in it that is satanic. Basically, it's a satanic message. It's leading you down the wrong path. So make sure you watch what your kids listen to and watch what you listen to, watch on TV, all that stuff, because it's all geared to bring you down the wrong path to Satan. All right, now we're going to go ahead and get into, we're going to stay with Beyonce here and keep picking on her for a little bit. I'm not picking on her, man. I'm just trying to expose what's real. I mean, this stuff is real, and these lyrics that they're putting in our heads are demonic lyrics, man. So let's listen to what Beyonce has to say here about Sasha Fierce. Now, anybody who's not, who doesn't know about Sasha Fierce, this is Beyonce's alter ego, she calls it. Now, before we get into that, let's talk about split personalities. Anybody that has a split personality, you guys, if you're, hold on 1 second here. If you're familiar with split personalities, multiple personality disorder, or dissociative identity disorder, they call it so many different things. You know that basically what happens when these people split their personalities is because they've been traumatized in some way, to the point where they split personalities so that the personality that's getting traumatized goes away, and another personality takes over, so they don't feel what's happening to that person. There's a lot of documented cases on MPD, multiple personality disorder, and dissociative identity disorder. There's a lot of different cases on it. Now, what I want you to understand is the Bible talks about this as well. The Bible talks about multiple personality disorder, but it doesn't say that. It talks about double-minded, being double-minded. And by being double-minded, it's like saying you have God on one side and Satan on the other. And you can't serve two masters. That's what it says in Matthew. I believe that's Matthew chapter 7. I'm not sure the verse on it, but check it out. You cannot serve two masters. You can't sit with God and with mammon, or drink with God and with mammon. You can't have both of them. You can't have, a lot of people, especially Christians nowadays, want both. And they want to have their worldly things, okay, and then they want to have they're godly things. They want to have both of them, but you can't. If you're going to be a Christian, you're either going to follow God or you're going to follow Satan. That's the bottom line. So let me get into this clip here, and you guys tell me what you think about this in the chat room. Go ahead and put some, give me some chatter in there about what Beyonce is saying here in this first clip. This is Beyonce talking about Sasha Fierce.
It was way better than I expected, and Sasha was in full effect. Sasha is my alter ego. And when people see me, sometimes I think that when they meet me and they speak with me, they're expecting Sasha. And I'm really kind of shy, and not really shy, but more reserved, and nothing like Sasha. But I guess I wouldn't be very entertaining on the stage. So Sasha comes out, and she's fearless. You know, she can do things that I cannot do when I'm in rehearsal. I mean, I can try, but then it just doesn't happen. I can sing notes and sing strong and do all these things that when I'm just by myself, I can't do.
All right, now, you just heard her say that she was on, they were doing a performance and Sasha was doing her thing, so she wasn't even there. She wasn't even, it was Sasha that was up on stage, not her, number one. All right, so she had created Sasha Fierce for what reason? She created Sasha Fierce to do the worldly things that she does not do as a Christian. So she has an alter ego that does the grinding of men on stage and half-naked dancing and sing the satanic songs and sing them better than she does because she can't do what Sasha Fierce can do. Do you understand that? She can't do what Sasha Fierce can. So the question is Sasha Fierce a spirit that comes into Beyonce, or does Beyonce leave her body and Sasha Fierce take over when she performs? You see, this is right from her. This isn't something that I'm saying. This isn't something that I believe. This is from Beyonce herself. This is from Beyonce, who says that she's a Christian. Look at her actions on stage. Does she do Christian things on stage? Are they godly things that she does on stage? Are they godly words that she sings in her music? No. You cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve two gods. So think about that. And I see Michael in here, and I agree. It was created for her, and I believe that it's all satanic, though. It's all satanic. And you see, a lot of people, when you break down their favorite musicians, when you break down Beyonce, like I there's no way I could break this down to my wife because she'd kick me out the house because Beyonce is one of her favorite singers. And I'm trying to keep a happy home, so I'm not going to say the things. I'll say a little bit to her, you know, about it, but I'm not going to get to the point where I'm going to start arguing with my wife and she kicked me out the crib, or I kick her out the house, one or the other. You know, I have to keep a happy house, but I do have to expose Beyonce to her in the same way. So I throw little subtle hints in every now and then here and there. And the thing that you have to understand is when you try to talk to somebody about any of their anything that they like to do that's worldly, if somebody's a Christian and you try to expose something that's worldly to them, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it. You know, they'll shut you right down in a heartbeat. They'll condemn you. They'll scream at you, they'll yell at you, they'll curse at you because you're attacking their superstar, their idol. American Idol, guys? What are they saying? It's an idol. Beyonce is an idol to some kids. Beyonce is an idol to some adults. It doesn't have to be a statue. It doesn't have to be Moloch or that thing that you have in Bohemian Grove could be an idol. It could be money. It could be your job. It could be an entertainer, a football player, a model. You see, let me go ahead and read some stuff here that Beyonce said, if I can find it here. Beyonce gets interviewed. First of all, I don't know if you guys ever seen the, I think it's called L.E.L. cover, where she has two different sides. Excuse me. She has two sides, two photos of her. One of them is her dressed as Beyonce, and she's very clean and nice looking, well dressed. The other one, she got dark circles under her eyes in this other picture. It's a dark picture. She has on black clothes. Like I said, she has dark circles under her eyes, or actually around her whole eye. She's like a cocoon. And one of them is Beyonce. The other one is Sasha Fierce. So let me read some of the stuff here that Beyonce said in some interviews here. This is an interview that Beyonce had in September 2003. Now, she says, when I see video of myself on stage or TV, I'm like, who is that girl? That's not me. I wouldn't dare do that. That's Beyonce saying that about herself on stage because she's not seeing herself. She doesn't act like that. That's her alter ego, Sasha Fierce, that's doing that. That's what she said. Here's another quote from her. This is from Parade Magazine, December 2006. This is Beyonce talking now. I created my stage persona to protect myself so that when I go home, I don't have to think about what it is I do. Sasha isn't me. Sasha isn't her. Now, you heard in that last clip that she said people expect when they meet her that they expect Sasha Fierce to be there, but she's not Sasha Fierce. So Beyonce is basically possessed. She's basically possessed. But you hear what she's saying, don't you? Here's another one. I wouldn't like Sasha Fierce if I met her on stage. This is also in Parade Magazine from December 2006. She wouldn't like Sasha if she met her on stage. How can you meet yourself on stage? She is possessed. And this is what you're listening to. This is what your kids listen to. This is what your wives listen to. Some of y'all men listen to this crap. You don't even take the time to figure out who you're listening to and what this person is. You just listen to anything. Don't even listen to me. Go look up this stuff for yourself. Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't have time to do that. These guys that listen to this show, you guys do your research. Most of you do. I'm sure you do. But there's some of y'all out here that don't want to take the time to research anything. You know, you want to just turn on your TV and whatever that news tells you, that's what the truth is. See, what people got to understand that this whole thing here, this whole music thing that we're getting into on this show every week, every Monday and Wednesday, when we talk about music, we're not just here to break up or to tear down musicians because we don't like them or we don't like their music. That's not what we're here for. We're doing this because we're trying to expose to you guys what this person really is and also let you know that this is part of this new world order, one world government, one world religion crap. It's all part of it. It's all part of it. The one world religion. The you got the New Agers. You got the environmentalism, environmentalists. You got Wicca. You got witches. Satanism. Yoga, Kundalini, all that stuff. Kundalini, whatever you call it. The chakras, the channel of the snake spirit from the bottom of your butt to the crown of your head. This is all the same. It's all New Age religion. And remember, you can't have a one world government without having a one world religion. Everybody has to be the same all around. Everybody has to be the same. I don't know if y'all understand that. We're fighting against one world government, which is great. And we fight against the one world currency, which is great. We see all this stuff happening. But we need to tell people that there's also a religion that they're trying to bring in, a religion that is teaching us and our kids that we are gods. And that is the same lie that Satan has started in the Garden of Eden with Eve. He told her that she can be as a god. The same lie from thousands and thousands of years ago is still permeating in today's society. It's still here. It's still here. And the more that we let this stuff into our minds, the worse we're going to be. And that's just what it is. Listen to Beyonce. Listen to this one. Let me see. Did I read this one already? No. Okay, listen to this one. I have someone else that takes over when it's time for me to work and when I'm on stage. This alter ego that I've created that kind of protects me and who I really am. Let me read that again. I have someone else that takes over me when it's time to work and when I'm on stage. This alter ego that I created that kind of protects me and who I really am. That was from a press statement of October 2008. So she's saying that she has somebody else that takes over her when it's time for her to work. I'm working now. I'm talking the same way now as I would to my kids about anything. When it comes time for me to talk to them about Jesus, and it comes time for me to talk to them about the music they listen to, I'm talking the same way. There's nobody else different inside here. This is Sean Walden, Ninja Scroll, whatever you want to call me. There's no alter ego. Ninja Scroll is not somebody different from me. Ninja Scroll is just a name that I use when I'm on the radio. You go to my Facebook page, you see Sean Walden, and you see Ninja Scroll stuff on there. But I'm not trying to be somebody else. I don't feel like I'm somebody else. I don't let anything else come into me to be somebody else. So you got to understand there's a difference between an actual stage name or a performer's name or a radio show personality name and somebody saying that they let something in or something comes into them and they're not who they are. They're somebody totally different. But this is the crap that our kids listen to. This is the crap that our wives listen to. We're coming up on a break in about 4 minutes, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play another song here from Destiny Lab, and then we're going to our break. When we come back, I'm going to do this other clip here from Beyonce, and this is pretty much going to sum it all up for Beyonce, because when you hear this, everything that we just talked about, everything that you heard me say is going to come out of her mouth. Without getting too deep into what, because I don't want to spoil the clip. So the phone lines are open, guys. If you guys want to call in and say anything, whatever, there's a lot of chatter in the chat room. I'm sure there is. But the phone lines are open. If you want to call in and comment, debate me, whatever you want to do, I'm here. I'm waiting. Phone lines are open, 1-347-324-3704. That's 1-347-324-3704. You are listening to Ninja Scroll and DJ Joshua, who is taking a break for today, right here. Step up to the mic on Freedomizer Radio.
Evolution teaches that we came from a primordial soup. Billions and billions of years ago, we evolved from single-cell bacteria.
A new religion is beginning to overcome the minds of the young. It goes by the name of evolution. Invading all of education, tricking them to listen to Darwinian fiction. Sorry, Charlie, these tricks are for kids. You can't trick the truth, cause I just threw off the lid. See now, everyone wants to know exactly where we came from. Was it really
and your mama, fighting with each other like trauma from a soap opera. Pseudo dying from the monochrome monkeys, they're dabbling in lies and nuts like Jip Chunky. 98% of people claim belief in God, but ask if they believe in evolution, they applaud. That's contradictory, that's called hypocrisy. It's fairy tale time in every university. You could get brainwashed in every major college, graduate a grown up monkey with man's knowledge. Where do we come from, little shocked amoebas? Can it be true that people really do believe this? 10 trillion years of evolution can never account for the creation that we live in. 10 trillion years of evolution cannot account for the creation that we live in. 10 trillion years of evolution can never account for the creation that we live in. 10 trillion years of evolution cannot account for the creation that we live in.
The creation that surrounds us astounds us.
We give glory to ourselves and that's our land.
We give glory to the earth, glory to the stars, glory to some insignificant rock from Mars.
Glory to creation, not creator.
Tell me how you get a painting unless you have a painter.
How you get a sculpture unless you have a sculptor.
How you get a Luke unless you have Darth Vader.
Just one way, the narrow path to the kingdom.
It's our religion, it's the truth I believe in.
Religion, do not spoke to the center.
No.
You cannot choose to which God you may enter.
Caught in a whirlwind of indecision, known as pluralism. A vision that will leave you unforgiven.
For He has risen and freed us from this prison.
I know that when I die, my life's just beginning.
All right, that was Destiny Lab right there. Make sure you go check their CD out, man. It's real good stuff. You guys will love it. Let me see. We just played A New Religion right there from Destiny Lab. That one is off their CD called The Evolution Antidote. And they got a great, let me read what they say in the front cover here, because it's great what they say here. If you are a loved one, this is inside the front cover of Destiny Lab CD, The Evolution Antidote. It says, if you or a loved one suffer from EDD, Evolution Dissociative Disorder, this CD may help you on your road to a full recovery. If you have been duped into believing that you are the ancestor of an ape-like creature who was the ancestor of primordial slime that arose from nothing, you need to listen to this CD. I like that, man. I really like that. I got to take a quick break. I got a call on the line. I think it's Uncle Buck again. And I'll pick him up in a second. Anybody else wants to call in? Phone number is 1-347-324-3704. I am going to take a quick break here real quick. I got to pay the bills real fast. So when we come back, we'll take this call. Anybody else wants to call in, feel free to call in. And then we'll get into this next clip from Beyonce in the last half hour right here on Step Up to the Mic with Ninja Scroll on Freedom Mother Radio.
Hi, folks. CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high-quality, cost-effective, and long-term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepared with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're freedomized.
All right, we're back from the break here, and this is Ninja Scroll. You're listening to Step to the Mic on Freedom Mother Radio. I'm going to plug my show real quick. Every Friday at 1 p.m., myself and DJ Joshua do a show on Ninja Scroll Radio called the Let's Talk Conspiracy Show. It's on a half-hour show, so stop on over there at Ninja Scroll Radio and and check us out over there. Also, we have Bible study with Brother Jeff. He's at every Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everything is Eastern Standard Time, by the way. We also have DJ Joshua has his own show called It's News to Me, and that comes on 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ninja Scroll Radio. And also, the debut of my new show called Inside the World of Satan, and that is a very crazy show. I got a lot of stuff I'm talking about on there, a lot of research on things that we do, that we are deceived to believe, to worship Satan. You just got to listen to the show, and I'll break it all down to you. And that show is on Thursday the 17th. Thursday and Saturday, I think it is. Oh, I'm sorry, Thursday and Sunday on Ninja Scroll Radio at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Inside the World of Satan. So stop on over to Ninja Scroll Radio sometime and check us out. You've got a lot of good stuff on there, too. But I'm happy to be here on Freedomizer Radio as one of the new hosts. I've been on it for about 3 weeks now, and I'm loving every bit of this show. I love the people in the chat room. I love the calls that we get. Last week we had Chris Gio on the show. Hopefully Wednesday, I'm working on Destiny Lab coming on and doing an interview with me on Wednesday. And then Pedro Monsanto is coming up soon. So stay tuned to our show every Monday and Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Freedom Out of the Radio. Step up to the mic. Let me go to a call real quick before we get to that Beyonce clip.
Am I there?
No, 342. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah, Uncle Bucky, and, you know, you were reading that about, you know, our alter ego. I got that documentary, We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll, and it's almost identical, you know, with, like, AC/DC. They say, man, it's like someone else takes over our instruments or on stage. It's like we're not even playing them, as a quote. It's somebody else, you know, and it's like, it's funny the similarities between the different entertainers, if we can use that word.
It's so similar because it's the same. They're all ran by the same agenda. Satan is running them, all of them. Whether
that's
it be
right.
Hip-hop, whether it be country, whatever. It doesn't matter what style of music it is. It's all the same thing. It's all coming from the same entity.
Yeah. It's other entities entering their bodies, man, and taking them over. And I just wanted to comment on that one thing right there is, you know, wow, what total similarities between the two. Quite amazing. Thank you.
No problem. Let me tell you, you bring up a good comment because it is an exact similarity between all the music genres that you hear. And when you listen to Ozzy Osbourne, he said the same thing. He said they walk into a room, and when they walk in there, it's like the song is already written.
Yeah.
They don't even write
these
songs. These songs are being channeled. Now, this next script that I play is going to talk about that. It's like being channeled. It's all channeling these spirits to write, and actors do the same thing. Actors, they channel spirits so they can act. James Dean did it. He would channel a spirit and be a totally different person when he acted.
Yeah, and if you check out that one chick on YouTube, she's like gives conferences, and she's like, quote-unquote, a positive thing about entering the vortex.
About.
Oh, she's
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, it just kind of come to my mind, but, you know, it's like she couldn't stand when people brought up, you know, Jesus Christ. I mean, it was
Christ
like,
thing.
Yeah,
I'm
and
mad.
She's like, oh, man, she was mad, and she was like, you know, the Bible, well, we haven't read that. And it was like,
yeah.
I mean,
making crazy comments about the Bible and Jesus and saying he was nothing and all this stuff. I heard that.
Yeah, what the heck? I'm just going to pop up here. Abraham Hicks. There we go. Abraham Hicks. She converts over to this. Yeah, she channeled, and all these people, yeah, and they're like clapping and laughing, and it's like they go to her because they want to, you know, have a better life and enter the vortex. She keeps it a vortex to hell, you know. And,
exactly, that's where they're going. And she got all the people clapping for her. They're all followers of her. They're all following her.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you mentioned something that was really critical. You're like, you know, I can't talk to my wife about this, argue about it. And it's like, you know, that division, man, it's Christ said I came not to bring peace but a sword. you know, in these latter times, husband against wife, father against son. That's right. That's right. And you got those influences there in your own household, and you gotta, you know, creep on eggshells, because we know how this culture's set up. It's set up to be a feminist, not a masculine.
That's right.
And you know, your scripture's written in a masculine form, not a feminine form. Yes. Right, and both are celebrated. I agree, but. Let's just face it, there is an order, and then people can disagree, whatever, that's fine, but, I just love what your show's saying, and when you said that, I'm like, wow, how is that man going to deal with his wife in these times?
You know what I'm saying? It's very difficult, because I have six kids also, and we're trying to raise a kid and deliver Jesus Christ. So for her to be on the far off one way, and me to be far off on the other way, we don't see spiritually eye to eye.
Yeah,
you know,
that's...
So, I'm trying to mold the kids myself.
Wow.
And the kids are like torn between both of us.
Oh, man, that's unevenly yoked. And the thing is people can marry yoked evenly and then become unyoked to where one doesn't, you know... So you've got to, continue that prayer, man. The prayer is so powerful about chasing that out, and, you know, anoint the door jams and the places in your house and pray over them, you know, get into that. And you don't have to tell her, but to drive that wicked evil out of that your home.
Yeah, and that's where the power of prayer comes in. Everybody should pray for everybody, but please pray for me and my wife, man.
It works.
We don't go through it as much as we used to, because I pulled back a little bit, but...
Yeah.
I need her, and she says she's a Christian, so I have to expose this stuff to her. I'm saying, look, if you're a Christian, you can't listen to that.
Yeah, you're letting in that little slithering, tiny, snake in there, and it's getting into your, this is just a good show, because, here you are going down the road, and you're listening to something, and it's just the influences. The battle is on. The battle between these forces, is totally on, and, I'll just be quiet, but good show, and I'll go back to listening. Very interesting material.
I appreciate it. Uncle Buck, you feel free to call in anytime, man. I appreciate it.
Okay, my brother. Have a good day.
You too. All right, that was Uncle Buck calling back in. We're going to go ahead and get into this second clip here. We got like 20 minutes left in the show, so I want to get this in real fast. Listen to what Beyonce said, and you just heard me and Uncle Buck talking about channeling and stuff like that, and spirits coming into them. Listen to what Beyonce says. Check it out.
I remember right before I performed, I raised my hands up, and it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me, and I knew.
Hold up. I'm going to play it again. But what did she just say? She said she remembers being on stage and she waved her hands up in the air, and for the very first time she felt something else come into her. Is that channeling? Is that being possessed? Let me play it again.
I remember right before I performed, I raised my hands up, and it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me, and I knew that was going to be my coming out night for the BET Awards.
You know what she said, right? I didn't say it. Uncle Buck didn't say it. Beyonce said it. Be aware of who you let your kids listen to. Teach your kids the Bible. Read the Bible. Because these influences outside here are worldly influences. And we are not supposed to be part of the world. So when you listen to this music that you play in your ears and you stick these headphone buds deep into your ears so you can't hear nobody else talking to you, you got to understand the message that is coming into those earbuds. This is what this show is all about, ladies and gentlemen. This is why we do this show. This is why we've been asked to do this show. Because we've broken down a lot of different videos and stuff, and they heard about us doing this, so they decided to put a show on about it. So, I mean, I could break down videos, I could break down, you got to watch this stuff. You got to watch what you're listening to and watch what you're watching. This is demonic stuff, man. This is spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare. And Satan is using everything he can against you, whether it be music, movies, TV, whatever. If you're not careful, you can easily be led down the wrong path. You can go down that wide street, that wide road that the Bible talks about that leads to hell. Or you can walk down this narrow path. Why is the path narrow that goes into heaven? Why does it say that in the Bible? Why is the path narrow that goes into the gates of heaven? And the path to destruction is wide. Why is that? Why would the path to heaven be narrow and the path to destruction be wide? You know why? Because there's a lot of people going down to hell. There's a lot of people going to hell, going to destruction, and very few going into heaven. So the path to heaven don't have to be wide. It don't have to be a big road. It can be skinny. It can be narrow. It can be narrow because few will travel that road. And the path to destruction will be wide because many will travel that road. Now, what does music have to do with that, people might ask? This music that we listen to is propaganda that is leading us to the wide path. It's satanic. The lyrics are satanic. The hooks, they call it hooks. See, I'm in the music business, so I know about this stuff. There's something called a hook in a song. It's called a hook, and that's because it grabs you. It grabs you, and they say, and they do it over and over and over again, so it embeds into your head. The same way people chant, like the Muslims chant, and the Roman Catholics chant with their rose beads, and they count how many times they do it. The Muslims, they chant, and they walk around that big black block, and they count how many times they walk around that. Witches chant. They do the same chant over and over. You get Buddhists chanting the same thing over and over and over again. It's hypnotizing you. It's hypnotizing you. There's no way around it. You're getting hypnotized, man. I'm going to read one more thing here from my computer's acting up, of course. But I'm going to read one more thing here from Beyonce, maybe two. Well, I think this, you know what? I think I have two here. Yeah, this is the one. And check this one out. Sasha Fierce, this is Beyonce. She said this at a press conference in October 2008. Sasha Fierce is the fun, more sensual, more aggressive, more outspoken side, and more glamorous side that comes out when I'm working and when I'm on stage. So, the satanic side of her is more fun, more sensual, more aggressive, more outspoken, and more glamorous. What is she saying about her Christian side? Is her Christian side dull, nerdy, not compassionate, you know, not sensual, whatever, meek, mild? Why is she painting a picture that Christianity cannot be fun? That's what she just said here, that her Sasha Fierce side is more fun, more sensual, more aggressive, more outspoken, and more glamorous. Is it not? What is it? Why can't her Christian side be glamorous? Well, she's painting a picture that is more fun, is more exciting, is better to be like Sasha Fierce than it is to be like Beyonce. That's the picture that she's painting when she says that. That's what she's saying. So, let me read this next one. Let me see how much time we got left. We don't have much time left. We got like 8 minutes left in this show. So I want to thank everybody for listening and all the comments in the chat room. Here's the last one I'm going to read, and then I'm going to go off and just go crazy on y'all real quick. And then I'll bring Nikki Nix in. Make sure you stick around for her show. She got some good stuff for you, too. So make sure you guys all stay right in the chat room. Stay right where you're at for Nikki Nix's show. But let me read this real quick. This is Beyonce. Montclair interview, October 2000. I'm sorry, Mary Claire interview, October 2008. I've created an alter ego. Things I do when performing I would never do normally. I reveal things about myself that I wouldn't do in an interview. I have out-of-body experiences. If I cut my leg, if I fall, I don't even feel it. I'm so fearless. I'm not aware of my face or my body. That is what Beyonce said. She is demon possessed, and the music that she puts in your ears is demon possessed. And if we don't stop listening to this crap, well, I'll tell you, you gotta, oh boy, what do you guys think, man? What do you guys think of this? Am I crazy? I know when I put this to when I present this to people like on Facebook and stuff like that, people say I have too much time on my hands. You know, I have too much time on my hands. So what are you talking about? That's the main excuse I get. Oh, you just have too much time on your hands. Or they say that I'm crazy, or you know, you're just picking, you're nitpicking, you just don't like Beyonce. I think differently, man. This is not about me not liking Beyonce. It's not me. I mean, look, the thing that I know we all need to do is pray for Beyonce. We need to pray for Jay-Z. We need to pray for our President Obama, who's doing all this crazy stuff that he's doing. We need to pray for all these world leaders, because the one thing that can help us is prayer. The one thing that can change their hearts is prayer. But we can't do that on our own. We got to pray. We can't make them change, but we can pray for them. We can sit around and complain about them all day. We can write blogs. We can do shows like this and say New World Order is this and that, and we got to fight for our freedoms. But that's not going to change their hearts. Jesus Christ can change their hearts. God can change their hearts. Us praying for them can change their hearts and their minds. I always say, that it's great that we have people out here that are fighting for their freedoms. And I am too, myself. We fight for our freedoms. We fight for injustice. We want to keep everything that we have. We want to have our freedoms. But what is having freedom? What is having freedom if we don't have salvation? What good is it? What good is it to fight for your freedoms, to fight for your rights? What good is it if you die and go to hell? I'm not saying that you don't want to expose these people for what they're doing, but what I am saying is that the end game, the bottom line is that if you're not saved, you can fight for all the freedoms you want. You can fight for all the equal rights you want, and you may win in the end. But if you're not saved and you die the next day, you lose. You go to hell. Keep that in mind when you're out here and when you're on these radio stations and when you're doing your tours or whatever you're doing, or you're talking to people. Keep in mind that the most important thing is salvation. Not equal rights. Yes, I'm going to fight for my equal rights. Oh, yeah, I'm not saying I'm not going to do that. I'm not saying I'm not going to expose corruption when I see it. What I'm saying is I'm going to expose the corruption when I see it and then tell these people that they need to be saved. Because bottom line, without Jesus Christ, you have nothing. I got 3 minutes left. Nikki Nixon is ready to come in. I'm going to bring her in right now. Nick, you want to come in? You put your hand up and I'll bring you in. If you don't, then, you know, you just stay right there. But stick around for Nick, Nikki Nick Show. She just put her hand up, so I'm going to bring her in. Make sure you guys stick around for Nikki Nick Show. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Not much. Enjoying a beautiful Monday. It's absolutely gorgeous outside, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Now, you're in Texas, right? What's it like down there? What kind of weather you got?
Just about 80 degrees outside, so it's hot.
Oh. So you got 80 degrees. I got 50 degrees, and that's my 80 degrees this year, right now. I'm in Jersey, so it's been snow all this time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just talked to one of Bruce Kettler from World Peace Alliance in Colorado, and he's at 20 degrees and just trying to get out of his property because he was completely off the grid. So he's been trying to get out, and he still can't get out because of snow and mud.
Let me tell you, man, when it's cold like that, 50 degrees is a blessing. I'll take it because it feels like it's summertime.
Exactly.
There's people out here walking around in shorts and everything. It's crazy. Well, what you got planned for today on the show, Nick?
I want to do like an anti-Valentine's Day, tired of it being hallmarked and commercialized. Love is not meant to be there.
And you know what? I'm going to stick around for that because I'm all about anti-Valentine's Day.
Right.
I look at it from with Cupid, you know, the Cupid and all that stuff, how he's a pagan god and all that stuff, and I don't get into none of that stuff. So I'm definitely going to stick around and listen.
Awesome, awesome.
Well, I'm going to wrap my show up, Nick, and I'll put you right on here. And I appreciate everybody in the chat room for listening and for putting up with me ranting like I did today. But I hope you all learned something about the music that you listen to, because the music we listen to does affect the way you live, and it does affect the way you talk and treat other people. So make sure you put good things in, and good things will come out. That's my show for today. Thank everybody for listening. Make sure you stay tuned for Wednesday. Hopefully we'll have Destiny Lab on the show. Thanks again. DJ Joshua should be back on Wednesday. I'll see you guys next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Thanks for listening. This is Ninja Scroll on Freedomizer Radio. Step up to the mic. I'll see you all Wednesday.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Join us as we explore the world to come. Jumpin' Ship with Captain Dan will take you on a trip to a sustainable life in the coming times. Join us as we discover how to build sustainable housing, water reclamation and recycling techniques, growing, preserving, and preparing your own food, and rebuilding not only your lives and your homes, but your communities. That's Jumpin' Ship with Captain Dan, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Saturday on Freedomizer Radio.
Much taller.
No, you're not.
You're fatter, though.
No, I'm not.
We're the same.
We're not the same at all.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
I'm greater than, lesser than, and equal to the universe. You know, I'm greater than it because I can contain it in my mind, and lesser than it because that's obvious, schmuck. And I'm equal to it because I'm of the same atoms it is. And I always say that what that does for me is connect me to everything and make me a part of it. I earnestly believe that it is all one spirit, all one energy, all one beat, and there are just these different manifestations of it. Because of that, I feel very safe in the universe. universe. I feel very comfortable and very at home because it is only me. And hey, it's only me. Remember that? Hey, it's okay. It's only me. Well, that's what the universe says to me. Nothing this shit can scare me because, hey, oh, it's only me. No fucking problem.
So everything that exists is everything that exists. I am everything that exists. So are you. The more you realize that, the more you open up to the full infinity of who you are.
We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone. The good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. Don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men.
That is the problem. That's the crisis. It's not political crisis, economic crisis, or the crisis of war. But the crisis is in ourselves.
The way out of this is the ultimate revolution. It's to be who we are and not what someone else tells us we should be.
Christ, Buddhas, Krishnas, Muhammads, Wovokas, you are all the same as them. Every single one of them said that to all of you. He did not mean follow him in a religious context. He meant be the way I am.
No, you listen to me.
Because you are.
Listen to me.
That way.
Go to yourself. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion.
We have created this society, so we are responsible for that society. But is it possible not to change society? But is it possible to radically, deeply transform our condition, our consciousness? What we are. Is it possible?
Hey, Freedomizers. Nikki Nix here with you. As we, of course, we rise above dehumanization. Sorry for that little sound issue. I actually, DJ Joshua probably doesn't realize that his Skype is still connected. So I put him on unmute instead of myself. So that was him probably playing the guitar. But, hey, it's all good. I'm actually going to go ahead and bring in Sleepy real quick. Sleepy.
Hey, Nikki. How you doing?
Oh, great. How are you today?
My throat's a little torn up, but otherwise I'm all right.
Cool. Hey, this is what I'm going to do because you're on. He just logged off the host, so I'm going to log onto the host. So you're not going to hear me for about 2 minutes, but the floor is all yours. All right, Sleepy?
All right, great.
Cool.
Well, if you folks haven't noticed, nobody really ever defines their terms anymore. It may happen occasionally. But, for example, folks talk about being awakened. So think about that for a minute. What does it mean to be awakened? What are the terms being asleep? cattle, sheep, those kind of terms. What does it all mean? And I will post in the chat room a video I made about this subject before my throat got sore, where I actually attempt to define it. What the closest thing I come to making a typology is that there's different ways of interpreting what that means. First, you've got the people who have like a quasi-religious connotation to it, to being awakened, in that they go around and proselytize to people, and if you agree with what they're saying, the overall worldview, then therefore you're awakened. The second school of thought is based on ignorance, in that if you just didn't know something, for example, you didn't know that sodium fluoride is a poison, therefore you were asleep about it, or you were asleep in general, and once you know, those, a couple basic facts, then you are awakened. Third school tends to be mainly about skepticism, in that if you accept everything, if you're gullible, in other words, if you're gullible, then you are asleep. So hence, like on the anti-terrorist two books, where he has a slogan about thinking is the new black, well, that would be something more out of the skepticism school. That'd be something out of the more skepticism school. So those are three different orientations that could possibly give a definition to what being awakened is. Now, something I noticed about the people that are awakened, regardless of whether that typology I just gave you makes sense or not, or even if it's true, is that every single person that's awakened that I've noticed is they understand they've been lied to their entire lives. They
that's a big one.
Hey, Nikki.
Hey. No, not only like being lied to your entire lives, just like usually most people that are awake tend to have had major life-altering events, you know? And most of them on purpose to either fracture the personality or completely take you down. But a lot of people have to grow up a lot younger than they would personally probably like to. there's several, but that's a very good one. I like that a lot.
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to actually kind of explain it, because nobody's ever explained. We all know what that term means.
Yeah.
Because technically everyone on Freedomizer, most people on alternative media that talk about the establishment and whatever, virtually everybody's awake, maybe not as much as necessary, but everyone's generally speaking awake. So we all understand it in a vernacular sense. It's just the question of what does it actually mean? Like if you had to explain to somebody who's asleep or somebody who's awakened but would prefer an actual rational definition, how would you explain it? And that was what I was trying to do. One common attribute is that we understand we've all been lied to, and then we recognize the necessity to actually do our own research, to look into things, to go actually talk to people, not just accept whatever some damn pundit was regurgitating on the tube.
Yeah, I love that. Mainstream media, it's like we have like so many channels, and whatever is stated has to be true because nobody ever lies to us. Nobody tells us something for their own benefit. No, it's all for the greater good. Which a lot of people are here to give a lot of greater good, and I don't want to completely turn people off from listening. The thing is like we talk about this all the time. I know, Sleepy. It's like, do your own research.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, that is the clarion call, absolutely, in double-checking things. I mean, even people that are awakened or whatever, they may be well-intentioned, but what if they screwed up on a couple of details? And then you double-check them, and you realize that...
Or misinformed themselves, so...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, there's that problem, too. Here, let me just give two really, really fast examples. And they're also kind of related. I'm assuming you folks remember when the mainstream media was telling you that mercury-tainted vaccines, actually just mercury, was actually good for you and would help you your cognitive abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that lie? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then more...
Well, also, Ann Coulter came out saying radiation was good for you.
Thank you.
People who have radiation get less cancer.
Thank you. That was the second one. But, yeah, those are just two similar examples of just blatant lying.
Oh, I still laugh when I hear that. It just cracks me up. I still can't get over that. Yeah, people that have been around the high radiation areas, like close to Chernobyl, blah, 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 they actually have a lower percentage of cancer rates. It's like, yeah, because they all die. They don't get cancer. They die.
Yeah, unfortunately. And also the other kind of aspect I was talking about in the video, and please people just visit that. And, you know, leave comments and let me know if you think I screwed up or if I did a good job or whatever. But I also try and – the other part is staying awake. And I think one good aspect of it is for people to – for people who are awakened to do outreach, to, you know, put up posters and hand out DVDs. But at the same time, I also explain the limits of that, hence why I kind of came up with another model, which is it depends depends on a combination of the cultural climate in your own local physical areas where you are, as well as the individuals that you are reaching out to. In that, if you're working in an area and or dealing with individuals that are either apathetic or overtly hostile or willfully ignorant, I would humbly suggest you don't bother. However, if you're in an, you know, cultural climate or and or dealing with individuals that are at least open-minded, if not already somewhat sympathetic, or you even find out they're awakened, but they're just simply full-on in hiding, they're otherwise not active, because if you're doing outreach, that means you're awakened and active. But even the people that are already awakened and they say, hey, I agree with you, man, then encourage them to be active. So, I mean, those are just the three groups.
And one
that
of the best things, instead of trying to, at least in my opinion, is instead of just trying to force your sight and everything that you see, because it can be so obvious once you're there, but when you're trying to at least help someone see it as well, give them something that might make them curious, and then let's step back. Because like all of us, you know, when you're told something, we usually do the exact opposite. So it's finding these little, like, key things. Like, seriously, just something, again, like Building 7. just look into Building 7 and leave it alone and let's see what happens. Because what will happen is most of the time, instead of you stating, this is the way it is, how can you not see this, you know? How can you not see this? You need to wake up, you know? And you get into this yelling match. But if you let them do this, they come back to you and say, hey, this didn't make much sense. What else you got, you know? And little things like this curiosity, which makes humans so important, is something that needs to... Yeah, like Bill says, it changes the universe. I mean, come on. It doesn't matter how many people you wake up. The thing is it just takes that one person. Really, it really, really does. And that person, you don't know how many people they're going to influence or at least create curiosity in others. And that simple little thing allows people to maybe turn off the TV now and then, to go out. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. I love it. And yeah, Sleepy just put in his link again, so, man, you're also Sleepy.
Well, thank you. I would agree with you about what you just mentioned, and the reason is because obviously if you just hand, and, you know, the anti-terrorist, he's the British guy with the ski mask and the sunglasses, the anti-terrorist said the same thing. The reason is that if you just give somebody a answer, even if it's true, it doesn't matter. They're already going to be, a lot of times they're already just kind of not going to accept it. However, if you present the same exact piece of information in the form of a question, and you maybe and perhaps mention a little less of it, but like the example you gave, like, hey, what about Building 7? You know, if you're going to talk about 9/11, hey, the whole Building 7 thing, the mainstream media didn't really cover it. I mean, there's a little bit of footage, but it wasn't really mentioned in the official story, the commission report, you know, whatnot. I mean, you know. Even there was that, I think there was that website or whatever it was called Building What. yeah, exactly. So I think presenting whatever it is you're trying to do when you do outreach in the form of a question, and thereby encouraging, even if you're handing out a leaflet about a subject, again, on the leaflet, present the matters in the form of a question. I mean, don't, because I've seen ones here, let me give you an example. I've seen ones about, like, aspartame. Where they say, like, aspartame is...
Sleepy, because
yeah.
Sleepy, about a couple minutes. We got to get you in on a scheduled show. You want to come in next week?
Yeah, I can try.
Okay, I know. You're always so busy. it's just that my guest is here, so you want to give a quick rundown one more time? Your link's in there, but I'm sorry, Sleepy. It was just one
No, it's fine, Nikki. Yeah, just everybody in the chat room, if you're interested about this subject and if you want to tell me that I suck or that I did a good job on this, just click on the video link and leave a comment and just let me know. And thank you, Nikki, for having me on.
Yeah, awesome. And Sleepy will be back. He's a good guy. Thank you, Sleepy.
Thank you.
And y'all can always find him, Sleepy Salsa, or follow that link. You can find him on YouTube as that as well. So let me go ahead and bring Mike Gannon in. And, I mean, okay, I was given a bunch of websites, but I guess Full Service Aquatics is probably the best one.
Yeah, that would be the one.
Okay, cool. Well, do you want to give a quick rundown and then of yourself and introductions, and then I'll bring Dan in as well.
Yeah, sure, Nikki. Nice to meet you, first of all. I'm the owner of Full Service Aquatics, and we're based in New Jersey, and we do all sorts of work with water, from installations to maintenance, all sorts of water features. But one of the services that we provide is rainwater harvesting in all sorts of different forms. So whether it's from something as simple as rain barrels up through pretty complex rainwater harvesting systems, we work with people to help them get collection solutions together. And we install them and do all services for them.
Awesome. I love that. Hey, I'm bringing in Dan. Your mic's open, Dan. Maybe.
Yeah, it was closed. It was closed on my end. Sorry.
Yeah, I figured so.
I did that because I knew that he had me on a live still on the other one. So.
Yeah, and as you type, everybody hears you type.
Right. That's why I muted. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, Dan. How you doing? Thanks.
I'm glad you were able to join us today.
I'm happy to be here.
Cool. Well, I mean, I don't even know where to start. I mean, there's how many states now? I think there's 7, right, that prohibits water collection, which is amazing in and of itself. So that's something that we should fight for right out. I mean, collecting rainwater is not a bad thing. It should never be made illegal. That's one of those rights that if somebody tells you to do that, I think you should put out a bunch of rain barrels in front of your front yard as a protest, like with the food bill. It's like if they tell you you can't grow food, go grow in your front yard. Make sure everybody sees it. I'm like, come on. These are things that are natural rights to people and very important for us to know if we ever plan on making an effect in our own lives or the lives around us. So the rainwater thing still trips me out that the states are saying you can't collect your own rainwater.
Yeah, I found that pretty shocking, too. The more that I got involved with rainwater harvesting, it just seems like it would be such a natural thing that anybody should be allowed to do. If water is falling on your property and you want to collect it and save it and use it instead of letting it just go into the sewer system or go wherever it is, it seems like you should be allowed to do that. But shockingly enough, there are several states that are not allowing people to do that, and people are even getting in trouble for doing having certain rainwater collection systems. It's pretty shocking. Something's got to happen to change that. Because
yeah, they want all water, like we were talking about earlier, the fluoridated water. They don't want you to have natural water. They want the water that they've added chemicals to.
by the way, I dropped the link for the natural news for the rainwater collection about the water rights.
Thank you.
On the chat room, along with his Full Service Aquatic and Mike's YouTube as well. So
Dan's the man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have information on my website about rainwater harvesting and mostly the systems that you can use to collect rainwater.
And we don't seem to realize the nutrients that's in there. I mean, seriously, there's things that are natural that rainwater does so much better. And you could take straight out water. I mean, look what happens if you put it in the microwave. It can literally kill plants because of the radiation.
Oh, sure. Yeah, rainwater is, I mean, it can't get much more natural than rainwater, and it is full of nutrients that are going to, you know, plants can use them, and it's the best water you can get. The water coming out of a lot of the public water systems is so full of chemicals that even to drink, you want to purify it a little bit, but it actually is getting into our groundwater and our plants, and it's a kind of non-productive water apart from providing moisture. There's no nutrient to it when you're using city water that's been processed and chlorinated. If you're trying to do gardening or trying for food production, it actually kills beneficial microbes that are in the soil that are essential for creating a healthy, nutritious plant that can be utilized.
Right. Hey, Mike, did you happen to catch CNN? I believe it was last week. They ran a story where they found in a lot of the city's waters that there was pharmaceuticals, prescription drugs in the tap water.
You know, I did not catch that. However, I'm aware that there is a lot of pharmaceutical waste, so to speak, that's getting into the water systems.
Yeah, this one here was actually, they found out how a lot of it was getting in. Our bodies don't absorb all the chemicals that it takes in, so we excrete it back into the sewers. Well, they found out the sewage plants have no way to scrub the pharmaceuticals out.
Mainly because the size of the chemicals that are used are too small to go to the filtration system.
Exactly.
So a lot of things like Prozac being a huge one, and also birth control, estrogen, hormones, that are too small to get in through, or that are too small for the filtration system to stop, are now getting into drinking water. Hence why we also have a large issue, and again, all towards the eugenicist plan, but we're having issues with people actually being able to have children, which is kind of a bad, I mean, people don't seem to realize that kids are so terrible. Oh no, look at your carbon footprint. Oh no. I'm like, geez, man, when there's more carbon, have you seen how green things get? There's a lot more oxygen around then, too. It literally corresponds with each other. We're so scared of it. It's, again, the mainstream media, they don't want you to know simple things like what's in the rainwater, especially when you get chemtrails, and if it gets into the ground, well, in fluoridated water, you really don't want that in the food that you eat either. And then we naturally, like, put it on your plants, you know, you water your plants, you just take it out of the faucet, pour it straight on the plants. So no matter what, all of the what's in there is getting in those plants, and if it is food that you ingest, then whatever you put on that plant, the poison, like the fluoride, ends up being ingested anyways because it's been produced in the plants, or, like you said, will kill the natural bacteria and other things within plants. I saw reports saying that some of the natural bacteria within it, if you have this bacteria, that you have a 0% chance of getting cancer. But because of, like, Monsanto's Roundup Ready, a lot of these bacteria are now dead in the plants, and they don't know what to do. You know, that's why they're also more susceptible to a lot of other things, because it's natural bacteria, like inside of us. It's all natural. It's kind of scary that we're missing things that are necessary that have been put there, but yet the elite have their nice little seed bank and everything else. And we're given, you know, told we can't even collect our own rainwater. No, 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 use the tap.
Yeah. It's a strange state of being.
Well said.
Yeah.
Okay, with
yeah.
your systems, I mean, the whole thing, you want to explain what aquaponics is?
Sure. Aquaponics is basically, it's a way of recycling water. And you could do it as a multi-stage type of process, starting at simply collecting rainwater. So that's step one. And then utilizing that in fish production, which could be a food fish, which is, again, it kind of creates a chain of usage along the lines, all from this one water source. But the aquaponics is also a way of producing, for example, leaf vegetables such as lettuce or other types of vegetables, tomatoes, peppers, things along those lines, certain herbs, and you're absorbing the nutrients from that water that's been collected that those fish are living in, and they produce nutrients, and those nutrients are taken up into the plants. So the plants are purifying the water, making it safe for the fish and healthy for the fish. The fish are going to grow quicker and healthier and produce more food, and then those plants, because they're absorbing the nutrients from the water, are also producing food and growing quickly and healthy without chemicals. So it's kind of a really interesting concept and a great way of recycling water in numerous ways.
And not only that, there's simple things like the fish can feed off that, so they're sustained. And if you add in like a greenhouse or anything else, we're talking, you don't have to necessarily be in the country to make these kind of things possible. And they are truly self-sufficient. Once it gets started, the fish are feeding off the plants. The plants are feeding off the fish, you know, their waste, everything else that gives them, like, the fertilizer necessary to make them very healthy. And then you're getting a system that's running constantly, plus the like hydroponic system that goes along with this, which also is very beneficial for the plants and continually aerates all this, and then you get a much healthier plant. And again, that's the root system. Everything else continues to feed the fish. And if you reach a certain point, it's like at first, I think the only thing is you have to feed the fish at first when you're first getting started, but that's about it.
Yeah. It's a self-perpetuating, very nice enclosed system. It's pretty amazing, and it balances out very nicely. And at the end of the day, you're not only producing what's very important in many parts of the world is food, a food source, and in some ways it could even produce a profit, which is not necessarily a bad thing either.
You know, the whole thing is, like, business is not bad. It's the intention behind a lot of things that come into play. It all has to do with our energies that we put forth, so.
Yeah. But if that profit is taken and turned into more aquaponic systems, then hey, you know, things are good all the way around. But it really is a really interesting way to go about utilizing water and working with these type of systems. And hopefully we'll see more of that. I've heard quite a bit about it lately. It seems like there's something of a buzz going on with aquaponics.
You know, the more green, the better. And, you know, it's so, you know, Mike knows I put a cheap pond in my backyard, and it's so easy to grow green in a little pond like that. Mike knows all about that. You can get to leach
yeah,
field,
you know,
all that sort of
yeah.
stuff.
I had cut out a little bit. Dan, what was that you had said? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're breaking up bad.
I wondered if it was me.
So what did you say? I heard something about a pond in your backyard.
Yeah. Well, I said Mike knows that I've got a pond in my backyard, and I know that, you know, when you get water like that, it's so easy to grow green. I mean, the place,
oh, yeah.
the whole area around it just greens up like you wouldn't believe. And you've got this pond there, so why shouldn't you have a bush or a big stalk of grass next to it rather than a flat lawn or
yep.
rock or just stone?
Yeah. I'm a pond keeper, too, as Dan knows. And, you know,
I try to learn from him, but anyway.
I can't say I literally eat from my pond, but I do have plant. You know, you can grow watercress, you can grow aquatic mint. There's things that really can be grown very easily, even in your backyard pond. Again, I don't know if I recommend people go out and do it without a little forethought and some planning, but it's very easy. It's like Dan said, it's very, very easy to produce actually quite a bit. I would imagine the growth in your pond, Dan, on some of the plants is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was really good last year. I mean, I started out by getting some free water lettuce, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
And a mini cattails and a full size cattails.
Yeah.
And a couple of water lilies, and almost everything doubled.
Yeah.
And
in a relatively short season.
Oh yeah, and the water hyacinth just goes nuts up here. I've got friends of mine, you know, every month or so, you see ads in Craigslist, hey, you want pond plants? Come get them.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we got to take a break, so we'll end with the pond plants. No, that's kind of cool. I actually love that fact, because anything that gets us back to being more corresponding with nature and actually realizing, and this also teaches us responsibility, something a lot of us need a lot more of because we'd rather hand it over to powers that be. But growing animals and food, definitely, even when starting small, can definitely give you a sense of accomplishment that's necessary if you plan on moving in the future with this. So, hey, Freedomizers, we'll be right back. We've got Mike Gannon and, of course, Dan's here with me, and we'll be back shortly.
In today's world, being prepared is on everyone's mind. You're being told every day to prepare yourself. Okay, being prepared is one thing, but how are you preparing? Is the food you're going to eat something that you'll really enjoy? You know, comfort food. Or is it just something you'll eat for the sake of eating? After all, who cares about taste? You do. And at tomorrow's harvest, it's all about variety, taste, and a larger portion for less money. At tomorrow's harvest, you'll find 85 varieties of prepackaged meals, or you can customize your own family's menu. You can choose what you want, and they'll put it together for you. You choose what you and your family will eat every day. You'll find entrees like lasagna, beef stroganoff, salmon, ground beef, steak and chicken, and don't forget real milk, the kind of food that, when you need comfort, it's there. And preparation is as easy as 6 months, same as cash. Prepare today with Tomorrow's Harvest in Bountiful or online at tomorrowsharvest.com. Tomorrow's Harvest, a better taste in being prepared.
Freedomizer Radio, waking people up. They have their little puppets and underlings in place, and pretty much every government on this planet will do their bidding as they push us into this one world system. That's how it works. Somebody needs to carve that thing up, and I think I might be the man for the job. Waking people up. Just a tinfoil. If I got to break down the information, waking people up. Every time I get to have this conversation, it, you know, it sends them a little deeper down the rabbit hole. Look a little deeper. Freedomizer Radio.
Are you one of the tens of people who are tired of seeing chemtrails? Fed up with the government geoengineering you every other day? Take a dose of La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover daily and you'll never worry about weather modification again. With great ingredients and quality vitamins from Mexico and China, like fluoride, barium, high fructose corn syrup, and colloidal mercury, your brain will be a virtual Etch-A-Sketch lickety-split La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover. Wow, I don't even remember the tagline for this, so it must be great.
And we're going to have to come to the grips with the fact that they told us exactly what they were going to do. They wrote a document called The Project for a New American Century.
Don't ever say I didn't warn you. That's about all one can do. Better than these creatures tell. The opposite is probably true. But every day their grip is getting stronger. We must not prune the tree of evil any longer. Every day the tyrant's getting closer. Will you sit back and watch or do what you're supposed to?
What can I get with 2.3 trillion? When does a citizen become a civilian? When did the heroes morph into the villains? How can two planes powderize three buildings? These are questions that could get you murked. Politically, socially, physically put into the dirt. Many swear that there's some kind of conflict of interest within. The conflict depends upon what you're interested in. You can chant 9/11 was an inside job all day until you say the Mossad and pay closer attention to Flight 175 and the odd cylindrical pod beneath the fuselage. Then it's 2 plus 2 level addition after you factor in the flight termination system. Then flash back to the cash the good rabbi stole. September 10th style, right down the rabbit hole. You can get unlimited corporate news. You can have any mercenaries you choose. What can I get with 2.3 trillion? You can steal a couple million souls. What can I get with 2.3 trillion? You can get everything under control. The missile they hit the Pentagon with was not an act of randomness. It murdered accountants, bookkeepers, and budget analysts. That side of the building was retrofitted prior to this to withstand bomb blasts, the nickname that catches me. If that won't give you some kind of clue why they blew the mortar, maybe you should take some medication for your new disorder. If buildings are burning, don't ever trust a news reporter with 267 stories of gruesome slaughter. Don't ever mention
mentioned of Zakim and trillion stolen, much less missile equipped Boeing's even remote controlling with System Planning Corporation International. The folks to see if you got some buildings you'd like to crash into, but that's impossible without the proper capital. That's why I'm asking you what you would do with unimaginable wealth. So much money you can't delve in it, enough to buy 10 presidents in 12 minutes. What can I get with 2.3 trillion? You can get unlimited corporate news. That's right. What can I get with 2.3 trillion? You can have any mercenary you choose all night. What can I get with 2.3 trillion? You can steal a couple million souls. What can I get with 2.3 trillion? You can get everything under control. Now that's greed.
You know, it took me about a year to start hating the 9/11 victims' families. It took me about a year. And I had such compassion for them, and I really, you know, I wanted to help them.
That's about a millionth of what you can get with 2.3 trillion. Some clown named Glenn Beck, fucking with a Pentagon talking point of how he hates the 9/11 victims' families. But that didn't roll over too well, did it, Glenn? They're well aware they can no longer create a consensus as effectively as they used to. So they parade some other clown on the other side of the spectrum named Geraldo to tacitly give 9/11 truth a 6-minute segment semblance of credence, as if we didn't have that 9 years ago, dummy. The system is designed to make you think anything is funny. Pretty soon you won't be able to buy anything with your monopoly money, dummy. What can I get with 2.3 trillion? 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 2.3 trillion.
Nikki Nix back here with you. We rise above dehumanization. Hey, Mike, you're back with us, so welcome back. And let me let Dan in as well. So y'all are both here. I know earlier we were talking about, like, Building 7. Of course, I know that was with DJ Joshua, but, yeah, the $2.3 trillion that happened to just disappear out of thin air? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, what was it? The day before the before 9/11?
That's right. It was 9/10. It disappeared. And what's so funny is if you ask, like, they have, We Are Change has footage of them asking, like, Dick Cheney about the $3.2 trillion or, you know, whatever. He literally says, or Building 7, he goes, Building 7, he actually played dumb, so he had no idea what Building 7 was. I was like, there's no way. Come on. I can't believe they got him to say he didn't know what Building 7 was. I mean, what, he was our vice president right then, right? You think he would have known about a major building not too far from where he was going down? Oh, that's right. He was busy avoiding Pentagon issues. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Sorry. I just had to comment on that.
You know, we were talking a little bit earlier about when pharmaceuticals are getting into the water and how difficult it is to remediate that and to deal with that. And it was interesting. A few years ago, I had gone out and I was training with a company called Floating Islands International. and they have kind of an interesting approach to purifying and filtering water, and one of their focuses is on the removal of pharmaceuticals from water and different chemicals. And the way they're doing that is, in a sense, it's almost an aquaponic approach, because they're creating buoyant islands that are then planted heavily with all sorts of aquatic plants, or even semi-aquatic plants, because they are raised above water level, and the idea is that the root system of these plants will grow through that buoyant material and absorb nutrients from the water. And they did find in their studies that it did a tremendous, which they weren't, it wasn't their intent in going into it. However, when they stumbled upon it, they found out it was very effective at taking up a lot of pharmaceuticals and chemicals from the water as well. They were really, I think, nice. Setting out to deal with different types of pollutants in the water. And when they came upon this, it was very exciting. And the plants are literally taking them up and storing it within the plant material themselves. So I think if it is an edible plant, you are, in a sense, reintroducing that into your body or whatever is eating that. But if it's a non-edible plant, you are removing the pharmaceuticals and the chemicals from the environment, and you're locking it up and you're binding it. And they have found it's a very effective way. It's not hugely popular yet, but I think that the company has a lot of promise, and their studies are pretty fascinating in that respect. So there is hope. There is help out there for getting these out of the water and purifying it. But it just needs, I think they need a little more awareness about what they're doing.
Very much so. Hey, you want to explain to people, or at least give people hope and help? I love that, hope and help. For those that might live in city areas who seriously think things like this are just not possible, because, I mean, I've heard about people even doing things in their closets. So you want to go into a little bit that you really don't have to have a huge amount of land, property, or a house to necessarily get into this?
Sure, as far as collecting water?
And even
you really don't.
Any of the systems, anything. I mean, even aquaponics, hydroponics. I mean, there's hope and help.
Collecting, recycling, any of it.
Yeah, there really is. There's all sorts of interesting ways to collect and contain that water these days. It's not, I think a lot of people, their minds immediately jump to rain barrels, traditional rain barrels, stuff like that, which can be big and bulky. But there's some pretty sleek designs out there these days, even ones that can be used as fencing. And it basically it works as a fence or a screening for your yard or for even a little patio area off of an apartment in the city can have one of these. And you can store, you know, 90 or 100 gallons of water out there for you to use. And if you have little container gardens on your patio or whatever the case, that's water that you can use. Easy to collect. It is not very, you know, obtrusive, and they're very nice looking as well. There's also more compact ways to do it. They have very flexible type of bladder systems now that when you want the water, you roll it out, you fill it up as you use it up. If there's not any rain for a month or so, depending on where you are, you can roll the container right back up, and it's very small, and you can put it into storage until you know there's going to be some rain again. So there is a lot of hope. There is a lot of help out there for people who are looking to do it. You can't really say, no matter where you live now, that you don't have an option of collecting rainwater to be used how you want to use it, unless it's illegal.
Which is just insane. I still cannot believe that. I think that at least 7, there may even be more states, actually have it on the books that, and they will come after you for it. They definitely don't want you, they want you to pay for it. They want you to pay for water. They want you to pay for air if it comes down to it, and they've joked about that, but come on.
Yeah.
You really think the powers that be joke?
it is nuts. And no matter how much they can go after you and fine you and create revenue from those types of fines, it still cannot. The other objective is to not allow people to keep water on their property when it falls, they'll let it go into these sewer systems, and ultimately, with population increase, these sewer systems become antiquated. I know in my part of the country, which is the New York, I'm in New Jersey, but the New York area, the infrastructure for dealing with stormwater and just wastewater is old. It's very old, and it would cost billions upon billions to modernize and repair and upgrade all these systems. Or you could require people to collect water, and you're going to save an awful lot of money. You're going to get a little more from your original investment in your stormwater infrastructure. It's just kind of crazy to not allow people to do this because, again, the alternative is having all that water go into the sewer systems and the stormwater systems, which is a lot of wear and tear on not just the infrastructure but the environment as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we seem to think that that's just it. When it comes to, like you can even do this in buildings. You can go up, again, like vertical growing kind of things. There's a lot of things that are possible because I have a nice patio in my apartment, which is an apartment at the moment. Would love not for it not to be, but, hey, I mean, I'm surrounded by animals and plants. I truly am. I have this, people say I have a zoo, so... But it really takes little steps and learning things such as this so that, say, the so feared rapture or end of the world, 2012, the infrastructure falling, the collapse of the United States, whatever you have that turns fear in your body, blah, 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 all those kind of stuff. Yeah, if you step back and realize that if that's truly what you fear, then we can take small steps to be prepared. It doesn't take much. And starting with your own food and raising small animals can definitely help you along the way if that's, you know, where you truly think things will go. And just in general, it's good to know where your food comes from, just so that you know what goes into your body. Again, because of the way things are done when it comes to mass production, we used to know our neighbors who grow our food. So simple things like this are very beneficial for the self, for the community, And just to feel good, because then you actually, you know, created something that is useful for you and your family.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it's going to take a while for us to get back there, and it's going to take a lot of people. And, you know, people become complacent. It's very easy to go to the supermarket, and they forget how easy it is to garden. And gardening, people who are doing it a lot of times find they have such an abundance, such a surplus, you don't even know what to do with the amount of food that you can generate in a relatively small area. But people have to start trying to get back to that a little bit. Otherwise, we'll always be, you know, looking over our shoulders when we catch a raindrop. That's kind of where it all ends up stemming from eventually.
Yeah, and if you're going to stand up for something, stand up for that. It's like we have to take into consideration, like, human ability and human needs. Water is top. Breathing, I guess air is number one. Then water.
Yeah.
And then food. So, come on. Water is so important. When they tell you can't even collect water?
It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah.
But then they'll also tell you that there's only certain things that you can do with the water that's being provided for you as well. They'll ration how much you can use to do gardening, to keep your lawn, to wash your car, all these different things that all of a sudden you're getting shut down on your water usage. And, it's just a buildup to eventually water is our most precious resource. I know oil kind of runs the world right now, but eventually it will be water. And there's already fighting about it in many parts of the world. And it seems like that's kind of coming down the pipe for first world nations as well. We may very well have to fight for our water at some point, which is kind of sad, especially if you're not allowed to be proactive and collect your own rainwater. I think
that's
really
what the weather modification is, to only allow it to rain in certain areas.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, big joke. I honestly really don't know what the elite have in mind for the simple reason I'm not like them. I don't think like them. And No, and I don't want the money they have. Sorry. They actually, people that have money seek knowledge. Those that control the money, they seek knowledge. And this is things, they don't have the ability to do the things we do. And they honestly expect us to respond in like, because that's the way they are. And because we don't, you know, we truly do have this need and this will to take care of each other. And I think that is so important. And it's little things, seriously. Plants even have this this energy to them where they can feel the environment around them. Hence why, like, sometimes music or talking, interacting, our energies, speaking, sends out waves that actually cause vibration within the plants that can heal it. And when you take care into something, you actually have an emotion towards something, that energy definitely goes into that entity, whether it be an animal, a plant, or anything around you. It's kind of an amazing dynamic world, matrix, web, whatever, that we all collectively create. But little things, we truly have an effect on it.
They say you should talk to your plants, and you're going to get better growth and better results out of them. So I had a plant in my house I was talking to for a long time, which I never got any change from it. I realized it was a silk plant after about 3 years. But now they do say that. So there's probably some sort of some reality to that, being able to talk and get some sort of reaction from a plant.
I've seen tests where they literally, like, put, like, diodes onto the plant to register its, like an EKG kind of a thing. And then just the interaction or paying attention, someone focusing on the plant and watching, like, a bad event, the plant will respond to the bad event or will respond if they're tired. They did one thing, actually, with this kind of a bad experiment, but they had live shrimp, literally. And the pot that they were being held to was through a line through a different room. And literally was attached to the plant, like with little clips, you know, to register the response of the plant. And then what they did, literally, without the plant knowing anything else, they all of a sudden, dropped the shrimp so they would go in straight into boiling water, and it killed them. The plant responded and literally, like, went into, like, frenzy, had more action than anything else, was honestly feeling and sensing what was going on just because of the connection that we truly all do have. And they've even got now, they've got the, of course, you know, the genetically modified animals and plants now. They have a plant, a flower, that changes color in the presence of bomb-making material that can actually, after, when it's present, it only takes a couple of minutes, it can change the flower to white. The plant turns white. And when the chemical in the bombs are no longer present, the flower will actually go back, the plant will go back to its original color. But it can alert those of material. And yet we still have to have TSA scans and molestation if you plan on travel instead of something, you know, that could be beneficial, that's just something simple. You know, we have great abilities to construct things, but the control systems definitely don't want you to know something like that because I guess they enjoy fondling people.
Yeah.
But hey.
Yeah, there is some interesting strategies that people can take, even though for the areas that it's illegal to collect rainwater. I think a lot of times those ordinances and laws are directed towards taking water and putting it into a container of some type. But, you know, people got to think of other ways of harvesting rainwater. And you can even do it in the sense of building what are called earthworks. And that's collecting rainwater in the ground itself. Now, a big part of rainwater harvesting and being able to use more water and to conserve water is recharging our water tables. So if you have property that you can create swales, you can still collect water and allow that to not leave your property and percolate back down into the water table. That you're still harvesting rainwater, you're still keeping it on your property, you're recharging the water table, which is something that they really can't go after you for. They can't really fine you for allowing water to fall onto your property. And it is a great way. You can direct water in that sense to your garden. You can create gardens in areas where you know water pools on your property, that you can take advantage of kind of natural situations and still be practicing rainwater harvesting without any problems from law enforcement or anything like that. So it just takes a little bit of thought. You got to scratch a little below the surface of traditional and the first things that come to mind as far as rainwater harvesting, because there's a lot of ways to go about doing it that won't land you in court.
All right, trouble with the government. Exactly.
Yeah,
So what's the best kind of plants that you've been growing? Seriously, any examples of fruit and that just absolutely astounds you when you've grown it separately in your system as opposed to the way we would find it in Walmart?
Well, I don't actually have an aquaponic system personally, just because I'm not really able to do that. I would love to be able to do that. But, however, I have seen and spoken with people who do have these systems, and some of the stuff that does really well are the leaf vegetables. Tomatoes can do really well in those type of setups, and a lot of herbs. Watercress, of course. You can grow water chestnut, cranberries.
Have you helped put some of these together before? Or?
I'm sorry?
Have you helped put some of these together before, or just with your focus is mainly on the rainwater and stuff?
Yeah, the aquaponic systems, I have not been involved with installing those. I'm not a dealer for those type of systems either, but I'm familiar with them. I really focus more on the rainwater harvesting systems.
Which is cool, especially like for people in the city to realize, like, yeah, we need to be able to have this ability back. And they definitely keep frowning upon people that are taking their own health and power back into their hands. That shows dissident behavior.
Yeah. It's not always easy to have control of your own life.
No, that takes responsibility, does it? Such a word most people shy away from. But it is a good thing. People don't seem to realize that once you do this and you actually get control of your health and say maybe you're programming from lack of TV or whatever else is, you know, in that regard, little things like this, like, seriously make a difference. So what kind of filtration systems do you put on? Do you do anything like that, or is rainwater just more naturally?
Yeah, sure. Well, we actually use what are called bog filters or wetland filters. And it's a scaled-down version of what our water treatment facilities use as well. One of the ways that the treatment centers purify water is passing them through wetlands, really letting those impurities that have gotten into the water be absorbed and taken up by plants. So our drinking water, the polluted stuff, is slowly percolated through a wetlands area before really getting into the processing facility where they're using more aggressive filtration and chemical treatments. And that's part of what I do. I do wetland type of filtration systems. So when you, and we actually try to even make it pretty, water harvesting rainwater and water collection systems have not been the most beautiful. And there's ways that you can do it as well. We install what's called a rain exchange system. And you can even see those at rainexchange.com. It's rainexchange.com. And they're interesting. They go below ground, so it's not an above ground type of installation. So there's no visual big cistern or anything like that. They're modular, so you can collect as much or as little water as you want. And what's happening is the water is stored below ground. It's then recirculated. We'll put a pumping system in, not just to bring the water up for use for however you're going to use it within your yard or home, but we can run it through a wetlands filter to purify it biologically. As it's exposed to the sunlight, it gets purified through ultraviolet radiation, and it makes actually habitats. So you have water available to animals in your area and desirable insects that may be able to take advantage of that as well. So that's kind of our approach in filtering that water as opposed to just letting it sit. It can be it can be an asset to your landscape. It can be a way to beautify your landscape while also harvesting rainwater. It's a very interesting kind of new concept to it.
I love it. Hey, we've actually got a caller in the 502 area code. You're with Nikki Nix. We've got Dan and, I just totally...
Mike Gannon.
Mike, thank you, Mike.
Thank
you. Sorry about that, but 502 area code, you're with us.
Hey, what's going on, Nikki?
Oh, hey, Sean, how are you?
Hey, not too bad. Thanks for asking. How's everybody doing?
Doing all right.
Great, great. Listen, I've been listening with great interest about all that. About gathering water and all that. Of course, I also have a show, so what I do is I encourage my listeners to grow their own vegetables and things as a not only a spiritual means, but also to provide for themselves some natural food sources.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I mean, I'm an apartment dweller, so what I do is I use a lot of the latest techniques such as the topsy-turvies and pots and things like that to grow naturally in my veranda. Now with the information about filtrating water and whatnot, it's very useful. But how do you, do you have anything or have you researched anything for those of us who live in metropolitan areas and maybe in apartments? We may not have the landscape to gather the water in such forms. Is there some alternatives for people that live, you know, in suburbia or in the metropolitan area, inner city kind of thing?
Yeah, the first one that comes to mind is a collection system called the Rainwater Hog. And that's it's a very compact way to collect water. And I think one of even how they market it is for apartment dwellers to be able to utilize for collecting their own rainwater. So that's the first one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
As far as other names, brand names, there's nothing, quite honestly, that jumps to mind right now that I can recommend to you, but there are a lot of different means and methods that an apartment dweller can use to collect a little bit of water. But the Rain Hog they've been doing a lot of promotion, and I mm-hmm. think it's a great product, and that's something that you can look at.
Right. I guess most of the concern in the city would be not so much the collecting of the water, because, I mean, I guess you could just put a bucket out there, you could put a barrel in your veranda, you could put, you can gather it from the the drains, you know, the gutter system.
Yeah.
I guess, you would say that in the metropolitan areas, the concentration of pollutants in the rain is, of course, a lot more concentrated with all the carbon monoxide and all that. So filtration systems, is there any kind of or anything that comes to mind as far as a rudimentary filtration system? I guess you could use some gravel or charcoal or something like that, a combination of where you could put it like in a little screen or something to screen the water. Would that help?
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty much exactly what you just mentioned. You could use varying grades of gravel. So as the water travels through the gravel, you get down to a smaller grain
mm-hmm.
and have it filter over some charcoal, and that's a great way to purify it. Depending on how you want to use it, there's a lot of different levels of purification, and there's a lot of equipment that even, you know, in urban settings, in apartment settings, that are available that you could utilize.
I guess that would make it appropriate for like watering the plants and whatnot and your veggie plants or whatever. And potability,
yep.
Potability, is there any kind of that comes to mind as far as chemicals? Not chemicals necessarily, but I know that like they got what do they call those pills that you can drop in like when you go to a creek or something to kill the bacteria? Iodine, but something to kill the amoebas and things like that in it.
Yeah, it's instant safe or something like that for drinking water if you're out in the wild.
Sodium iodide?
I'm sorry?
Sodium iodide?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Because I guess it would be good to make some of that water potable.
Oh yeah, sure. If you're looking at small quantities, you know, if you gathered a small quantity and you want to be able to drink it, then that's a good way to go. But if you're collecting any real volume of water and you would like to make that potable, you really would end up using a mechanical filter to remove sediment, which those pills do not do.
Right.
And then you would want to run it through a UV sterilizer, which is going to kill fungus, bacteria, parasites, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would also run it through a carbon. So it's a three-stage filtering process,
right,
to make it potable, to make it safe for you to drink. So
I also heard, I don't know if it's true, you seem to be more of an expert. So what I want to know is, and this is something that my parents used to do when we were younger, especially, and we lived in the city. They used to boil water. I've heard two things, that boiling the water is really not good, and drinking it afterwards, or something like that. Is there any truth to that?
Well, good old-fashioned boiling is a very good way to purify water. Again, I would use that as a very necessary means of doing it. If you have an option, that's probably not the best one, because the boiling is going to, again, just kill off parasites, bacteria, any sort of fungus or spores that may be in there. But it doesn't necessarily, unless you give it the time to settle out, it doesn't do anything for sediment or other kind of elements that are in that water.
Including chemicals, chlorine and things like that?
Yes. Well, it's going to get rid of chlorine. But other types of chemicals, I can't really say that it's going to do anything for those. I don't think you can boil heavy metals out of your water,
okay,
but you can filter heavy metals out of your water.
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Nikki.
Anytime, son. Thank you so much for dropping in.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Sean McIntyre, and if anybody ever wants to find him, they can find him at hypnoresolutions.com. That was cool. So, yeah. Go ahead. Hi, Doc. I got to say hi to everybody. Knuckles, hi. Nisi, hi. Go ahead. If you want to mention or ask something, go for it. But we'll keep moving forward. Actually, we're missing our break that we were supposed to have. So let's go ahead and do that, and then we can come right back in. So everybody hang in there, and let me get back up to the ads, which I had gone away from. So, hey, we'll be right back with you. Hang in there.
Hi folks, CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high quality, cost-effective, and long-term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepare with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're a Freedomizer.
Hey, Freedomizers, have you started your food storage yet? Are you dehydrating your own organic fruits and vegetables? Proof Negative here is going to tell you to check out dehydrate2store.com. where Tammy is going to show you how to dehydrate your own fruits and vegetables so that you can have the best food storage possible. Why waste money on inferior products when you could do it yourself? Easy. Check out dehydrate2store.com.
The desire to enslave our fellow man is unfortunately intrinsic to the human character. It has been with us since the beginning of time on every continent. In virtually every culture, from ancient Egypt to Babylon to Greece and Rome, Africa, Asia, Europe, the United States. It's a disease of our human nature, yet people are under the impression that it no longer exists.
As long as you behave like a slave, you'll remain in the jacket. To keep you straight and grip you up in court like a racket. Represented, ain't it fantastic? Your attorney and your judge study the same magic. You are an infant, a person that's unsound. They give you life vests, take it off and you will drown. At least that's what they try to teach you. They give you A and B, I don't subscribe to either. You should see stone cold through their fallacy when they try to control the debate with a duality. pick one and you think you got a choice. You've essentially squandered your motherfucking voice. I talk to the masses to see what I find, and eventually I gathered 500,000 like minds. Fuck 1,000,000 men, there's 100 more times than what you thought. That consensus was created by crime. Your First Amendment is better than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or war jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeves. Your First Amendment is better than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or war jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeves. As long as you behave like a slave, you'll remain in amazement. Lost in a labyrinth of your enslavement. Wandering in a CIA-approved arrangement. Listening to a blabbermouth for entertainment. The truth ain't what it's cracked up to be. Patriots are manufactured in a factory. Most so-called hate groups they've all been to. ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center. You might hear my words ungodly and jest, but you don't know about the wicked Dr. Jolly and West, who looked after Tim McVeigh right up until his death. Sirhan, Sirhan, Jack Ruby, and probably Koresh. Some say Oswald was just one lone nut. Others will say the CIA murdered JFK, so what? The human animal makes me want to channel Lord Milner and execute everybody who's off kilter. All that's out of order, that's what they're saying, soon to be brought down. And they ain't playing fluoride in your water. That's what I'm saying.
That's all that I am, and I am not capable of bowing to a man, and I am not capable of grand jurisdiction, especially considering the fact that you're a fiction, especially considering the fact you ain't real, and I'm flesh, and I'm blood, and I breathe, and I feel, and I'm here, and I'm now, I exist in this time, and the only place that you exist is the mind, and the only evidence of your existence is paper, I'm 80% water, you ain't even made of vapor, you ain't nothing but a figment of the imagination, of men and women whose opinions held as legislation, but how does that opinion then create an obligation upon an autonomous sovereign without a nation. I'm saying, as a king, I stand above your law, and it doesn't even matter whether or not I cross your bar.
Your First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind could get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms? Roll up your sleeves. Your First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind could get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms? Your beloved America, the British colony de jure. The king funded both sides of the Revolutionary War. The people does not include you. You're a whore. You can verify that in Barron vs. Baltimore. Look on your deed and you'll see the word tenant. Slaves cannot own property, just rent it. Social security's in place to enslave us. The trust fund, they blew it. Stewart vs. Davis. It's all psyched out in black and white. Decided very long ago how you'd react and fight. Contingency plans were drawn up exact, precise, on how to distract your nights from the facts of life. They polarized the people to attack and fight, within groups searching for truth and hijacked the plight. I knew a few patriots who lacked the price. One of them's drunk in a lounge singing Mac the Knife. The other two have disappeared unheard of. Some say suicide, others say murder. Watch out for patriots on the radio. Many know the truth, but they simply won't say it though. I ain't looking for beef, cause most of you're friendly. But Alex Jones seen juices as kosher as any. Another money bomb, how much can you lend me? What can I get with 3 quadrillion pennies? Your First Amendment is deader than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or war jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeves. Your First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind, I get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms? Roll up your sleeves.
The Jewish people seem to run 90% of all the media and all of the Hollywood movies.
All right, thanks for the call. Everybody hates the Jews. Oh, my God.
By the way, Larry didn't say he hated the Jews.
Question, why are you still breathing? I mean, why haven't you really just taken a toaster oven and thrown it in the bathtub of yourself and had a party? Because that's what you need to do.
I mean, Kate Foxman of the Jewish ADL admits that the 8 largest movie studios are run by Jews. Joel Stein, also Jewish. Joel Stein says, of course the Jews run all of them. And the movies. And the media. And Jason, please, don't call yourself the info warrior if you don't even know the basic facts. He was asked by reporters, the Jews own Hollywood, and he looked at the reporter like he was nuts. He said, well, of course the Jews run and own Hollywood. So what? According to Jason Berman,
he even dared to say that the Jews run Hollywood. The man come
and take you away. All right, hey, Freedomizers, Nikki Nix back here with you. Let's
see. I have Judge. Mike, you're open. Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
Welcome back
yeah.
again. I don't know if you saw that one question by Nessie. I don't want to say it wrong. I apologize if I do. Up at the top saying that she heard that boiling water can increase the chlorine content?
Yeah, the fluoride. I wasn't aware of that, so that's interesting to know. I didn't know that one of the properties of fluoride was to actually concentrate boiled water. So that's something to make note of, but I wasn't aware of that.
That is interesting. So Dan, your mic's open too. For anybody having issues, I just gotta say in the chat room, I know BTR's had issues all day today. Wow, somebody's gone. Okay, hold on. I think we got echo again with Dan, so I had to mute you. Sorry, Dan. But seriously, we've had issues with BTR all day today, like I have personally. So if you lose sound, whatever, you can reload. I lost it twice in a 30-minute show earlier today. Not my show, like listening to someone's show. And that's why you keep seeing like people drop off the chat room, because it'll kick you out of chat. It'll literally just drop you out of chat all of a sudden. So just reload. That's the only thing I can say. Try to stick with us. You know, I have the frustration. I know it kind of sucks. I don't know what's going on today. But that's right. Let's see if Dan's like, if his thing's working. Okay, Dan, you probably have muted yourself. I'm not sure, but everything's back up and running, and we're all back. So moving forward, I just had to share. Seriously, I apologize for the issues that BTR's having today. It's
here
so
we are.
Like everybody drop off. There's Dan.
There's Dan.
How you doing? No, Skype's got this stupid thing. Whenever I hit my mute button, it automatically lights up the microphone thing, and it flips it. I keep flipping between different microphones, even though I've only got one microphone. It still wants to take the other inputs. It's just weird.
I know. It's one of those days. What is today? Oh, today's the 13th.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, hey, do we want to keep going with the filtration? Because I think that's such an important part when it comes to the water thing. That kind of still trips me out about the heating it, making it worse, yeah.
Filtration is kind of one of the most important parts, too.
Sure. And it really depends on what ultimately you want to be using the water for. So I, you know, we had touched on it before. If you're trying to have water that's going to be used for drinking water, typically it's going to be a three-stage process of filtration to get it to that level of purification. But certainly it can be done. As far as there's other ways, you could use harvested rainwater in your home for things that don't necessarily require that level of filtration. If you want to use it for flushing toilets or things along those lines, rainwater can be collected and then plumbed into or spliced into your plumbing lines, and you can utilize it that way. And
Nisu is asking once again about just radiation and rainwater right now, because I know it's been found in like in certain areas, even in the U.S., they found radiation in some in rainwater seeping into the ground. Have you come across that yet?
No, you know, and it's bound to come up more and more now, just given obviously what happened with the Fukushima plant. But you know, prior to that, radiation was not something in the discussions that I've been a part of. Is not something that's been really brought up, quite honestly, as a topic. So I don't have a great suggestion for that, other than finding out really where they feel that radiation problems may be, and just simply do not collect that water. That would be the bottom line. You would have to let that, if it's rain that has any level of radiation to it, that would be best left to hit the ground, percolate back into the ground, and work its way down through Mother Nature and let her purify it. That's going to be the best approach. You wouldn't want to even attempt to collect that and try to use it in any way on a personal level. So I think to stay away from it.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Have you heard about the Earthship movement?
I'm sorry?
Have you heard about the Earthship movement?
No, I have not.
It's they're sustainable housing. They basically make the big biomass wall out of tires filled with dirt, and then they cover it up, and it's always faced south. And inside, they have a garden and a water garden and such. And they've got they collect all the water on site there. There's a big community or little communities starting up in Taos, New Mexico. But they collect all the water. They claim to be able to collect all the water they need, and they claim to use all the use the water 4 times. They collect it, filter it, drink it, and then it goes into the gray water system, which goes through your plants. They actually grow you grow food inside. It goes through there and then comes back out to. Then they use it to flush the toilets to the washing and such. And then after that, it goes to flush the toilets, and then after that, it goes to a leaching field in the yard.
Yes. So they're taking rainwater, converting it to gray water, and then again converting it to black water, which is when it's gone through toilets and stuff like that. And that can be exactly as you described, just leached right back into the groundwater. And it may, on the surface of it, be like, oh my God, you know, I don't want that going back down into the ground, but the reality is there's nothing wrong with that, and as it percolates back down through the ground and eventually hits the water table, it's completely purified by that point. So, I mean, that's some real deal complete recycling, and it'd be interesting to see a lot of that stuff taken up on a larger scale. They're easy concepts. It'd be great to see city planners starting to utilize that type of technology when they're planning neighborhoods or planning cities or new developments.
If we could just get back into having not even an equilibrium with nature, but like maybe just kind of a little bit less invasive and maybe using nature to its advantage, to our advantage, when living, you know, with it, which is what we do, because, well, most man just tends to take it over and recreate. We get yards that don't even have natural plants to areas. Why? Because it looks better and it's greener, right? So we waste all this water watering stuff and watching foundations wash away. And it doesn't take much to actually be a part of things as opposed to completely butting heads with it all.
It just takes a little motivation, really. It's too easy to not be motivated. It's too easy to just take advantage of what's around us and given to us. But with a little motivation, you can do quite a bit with collecting your own. I think, like you said, you may not be living at pure equilibrium, but you're certainly beginning to level that playing field a little bit.
Which is good for all of us, because we don't seem to realize that even us giving energy to plants, you know, by speaking and helping them grow, the life around us does the same in return. So, I mean, it benefits us not only for health and for us eating, but the simple fact that life around you definitely changes your health, your outlook. It can calm people. I mean, it can do so much more than, you know, having to just rely on pharmaceuticals.
You're absolutely right. It would be nice to see a little bit more of a movement in that direction, and hopefully that's coming.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's still going to take a little bit of technology. It needs to be made easier for people, or just awareness. I shouldn't even say technology. It's more of just awareness, people knowing that, you know, it can be done. It's not terribly complicated to make those types of changes in how people's thinking towards water and how they use it. You know, and it starts at home. It's going to start as a grassroots kind of thing, and it's going to start really at a very personal level for most people. It's that decision to do little things, you know, turn off the water when you're brushing your teeth or whatever the case. Those little tiny things are going to kind of start reprogramming how people think about water. I know for most of us, I mean, us who are talking right now, I'm sure we grew up where you didn't even think about water. I didn't. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but for myself, you know, sometimes you may leave the hose running in the backyard and then forget about it for the day. And at that time, nobody gave it much thought, but you have to now. You really do. Water, it's a different ball game these days. Water is not what it used to be. Around the world, it's not. And I think in a lot of ways, we kind of have a blind eye. We're so spoiled by the amount of water available to us. It's misleading. So we end up kind of being blind to the fact that there is, on a global level, there's a water crisis. And there's a lot of people fighting literally with guns for water and fighting amongst themselves just for the little bits of water. And it's not necessarily clean water, it's just water in general people need. We need to think very differently about how we're using it.
Very, very much so. I hate to do this, we're actually running out of time. So Mike, you want to go over detailed information one more time, let people know how they can find you and contact you and maybe get some help and hope?
Sure, you bet. Well, a really easy way is right on Facebook. Mike Gannon, G-A-N-N-O-N. I'm on Facebook. That's how I met Dan. I'm meeting a lot of really great people through that media. My website is fullserviceaquatics.com, and you can see all the different services that we offer, from rainwater harvesting and those types of water collection systems to ponds, water gardens. It really is focused around water. Whether it's conservation or an artistic use of it, that's what my business focuses on. So I'm very easy to contact through there, or give me a call, 908-277-6000. It's an easy number to remember if anybody wants to get in touch. I'm glad to talk to anybody on any number of things that they have questions about.
Hey, we all learn from each other, right?
And hey, also on YouTube, I have a channel called The Pond Hunter, and I create small videos. I have a few on rainwater harvesting, on water garden projects, on pond projects, koi pond projects, stuff like that. So if you want a little bit of quick entertainment, go to YouTube/The Pond Hunter.
Great. Okay. Yeah, actually, I dropped those links in the chat room for anybody. The only thing I didn't have on hand was your phone number. Sorry, Mike.
Not a problem. 908-277-6000.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike. We'll have to do this again for sure.
It's
always fun.
It flew by.
Yeah. It does.
I told you it would.
Yeah, you told me.
It's great to have you, Mike.
Dan,
I look forward
to
having
you.
Nice to
talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
You're a lot taller on radio than you are on Facebook. You surprised me.
Yeah, and everybody says I've got the face for radio, too, so I guess I belong.
And Nikki, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. So.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Okay.
You going to hang around? Mike, you going to hang around?
I actually have to shoot out to work for a little while, but I'll be back again.
All right, great. You just look for the links on the posts and just follow them.
That's great.
Hey, guys.
I appreciate it.
Take care, Mike.
Okay.
We are out of time. I've already got my warnings. So everybody catch me Friday. I've got Swami Shiva and the Punisher coming in. Both on Friday. It starts at 3 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, and that's noon on the West Coast. Of course, this is Nikki Nix, Rise Above Dehumanization. Thank you, Dan, so much for helping me out. And